Mama!
You must, Victoria.
I can't.
Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky.
She asked you for help. Rosa hated you. She's family.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
She hates me. You promised me.
Oh, Mama!
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
Whatever Rosa did, she's still family. Remember your promise.
Very well, Mama.
Episode 1, Remembrance of Things Past.
Gabriella, listen to me, please.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus, Gabriella. Oh, it's freezing. Why am I sweating? Oh, black winter morning. Snow is falling like a fine mist, glowing under the light on the corner of the street. Oh, Gabriella, why?
Time to get rested.
Okay, I'm on my way.
Wear your thick navy coat. It's cold out.
I'll wear my navy coat. Okay. January wind scatters dead leaves around my feet. The air blows cold. Come on. My hands are turning to ice. Come on, creep. It's a conspiracy.
Well. I was beginning to think you were deaf, Albert. My feet are frozen.
You should wear thicker shoes.
You put on weight, and you're almost bald.
And you still have no manners.
Can we cut the compliments, Albert? May I come in?
Of course, Victoria.
Been a long time, Albert. Gray paper would come loose, ugly cold. What is it, 10 years?
About that.
Albert?
I'll take your coat.
Thank you. Remember, Gabriella, I used to beg you not to bring me here.
Who is it, Albert?
It's Victoria, Mama. Mother is waiting for you in the parlor.
Well, let's get this thing over. Oh, in my nightmares, Gabriella, I dream of being trapped in this room with its stiff furniture and its ice blue drapes. The sad picture of Uncle Carl still over that fake fireplace.
Victoria, it was good of you to come.
Rosa! Thin, frowning, seated poker-faced in a spindle-legged chair. Did you ever see her smile?
Breathe deeply.
You wanted to see me, Rosa?
Urgently. I'm grateful that you could find the time to come out here.
When they perform her autopsy, they will find her bones are made of cast iron. May I sit down?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Albert, pour some coffee for Victoria.
Certainly, Mother. A pastry?
Thank you, no.
It's Torta del Rey.
Your favorite.
Who wants?
Cream?
Black, thank you.
You are well, Victoria? You are happy?
Yes. Both well and happy.
But you have not remarried.
It is possible to be happy and not married, as Albert can doubtless tell you.
No doubt, you are right. Yet for me, I am to die without the joy of grandchildren.
A pity. I know grandchildren would be the crowning joy of a happy and virtuous life.
You, Victoria, of all people, should know why my life has not been happy.
Rosa, please.
Your mother would...
When she was dying, Gabriella made me promise I would help you if you needed me. You called yesterday. You said you were in some kind of trouble. It stuck in my gut. It still does. But I promised her, and that is why I am here.
Still insolent.
Whatever Gabriella did to you, it couldn't have been as bad as what you did to her.
How? Dare you?
Look, Rosa, for some reason you think Gabriella destroyed your happiness. You threw her out of the house. I don't know why. She was a migrant. She couldn't even speak English.
You're just like your mother, Valda.
Why don't you just tell me what the problem is, huh? Then I can just get the hell out of here.
The most difficult thing I ever did in my life was to call you. Excuse me.
Where are you going now?
I do not wish to stay in the same room as you.
Jesus. I know I shouldn't have come. Where's my coat?
Please, don't go.
Please, Tara.
Sit down. Please. Please.
Okay.
Why do you have to make her mad?
I don't have to make her mad. She'd prefer to see me at the bottom of Lake Michigan. Ever since Gabriella died, she's been hostile to me.
She needs your help.
Albert, I haven't come to Melrose Park for a fight.
I'm sure she didn't mean it, huh?
Oh, I'm sure she did. She's probably jabbing pins into a piece of clay with a lock of my hair stuck to it at this very moment.
Oh.
Come on, Albert, come on. You want to tell me a story, I'll listen. You are family.
How long have you been a detective, Victoria?
About 10 years. You know, I hate being called Victoria.
Victoria is your name, isn't it?
I like my initials better. My friends call me V.I.
You're good at your job?
About the best you can get. Well?
Mother has gotten herself involved with some counterfeit securities.
You mean Rosa is the brains behind Chicago's mafia?
It's not frivolous.
I'm sorry.
They found some counterfeit securities in the St. Albert Priory safe.
Oh, yeah? She has a connection with the Priory?
Mother's been their treasurer for the past 20 years. They asked her to leave when they found the forged securities.
I see. How many are there?
I don't know.
Do you know what companies they're drawn on?
The only thing I know is that the new prior wanted to sell them in order to make repairs on the building.
Well, where were the securities?
In a safe. Rose's heart is broken because of the suspicion. Just because you only see her when she's upset or angry, you can't imagine she has real feelings. But she's 75. And that job meant a lot to her. She wants her name cleared so she can go back.
Is the FBI investigating?
Yes. They'd be happy to hang it on her if it makes things easier for them. After all, she's old. They know she'd get off with a suspended sentence.
If she was some poor West Side black, they might railroad her. But not Rosa. She'd scare them too much. Besides, the FBI won't believe an old woman masterminded a counterfeiting scheme. Unless, of course, she did. Did she plant the forgeries in the safe?
Really, Victoria, the church is the only thing she really loves.
Well, Rosa's malicious. But I must say, I find it hard to think of her as plain dishonest.
Well, then. Oh, what do you think? Can you help?
Okay, I'll try. You'll have to pay me. I am not working for love of your mother.
Of course. This is a business arrangement.
I'll give you a family rate on the fee.
Fine. Thank you, Victoria.
I'll mail you a contract.
Fine.
Okay, I'll need some names at the Priory.
Yes, I told the Priory you would want to talk to him. His name is Boniface Carroll.
Ha! Boy, Rosa's lucky to have you around, Albert. Oh, no. Shut up!
5:30. All right. 10 o'clock meeting at Melrose Park with Father Carroll. Are you going to have your run?
Oh, 5 miles in the snow.
Light sweatshirt, loose pants. Run down the rolling stairs to warm up.
Oh. Sky's barely light by the time I get back to Holston and Belmont. Walk carefully up the stairs to my apartment. Steps are shiny with age and very slippery. Long hallway divides my apartment in half. Dining room and kitchen to the left, bedroom, living room to the right. Clothes not too smelly for one more morning. Start coffee. Long hot shower.
Don't forget to shampoo your hair.
Must look clean for the monks, huh?
Navy walking suit?
Mature and dignified. 3/4 length double-breasted jacket, skirt with 2 side pleats, a silk knit top of pale gold, long scarf, red navy gold. Faint trace of eyebrow pencil. A little light rouge, lipstick.
Red leather pants.
They have open toes, Gabrielle. I'll freeze.
Your feet will fall off if you wear shoes made anywhere other than Italy. Red pants.
Even on warm, sunny days, the Eisenhower Expressway is like a prison exercise yard. Run down houses on either side of the 8 lanes.
Your neck muscles are getting tense.
I'm on an errand I don't want to make to a person I have no desire to meet. About the troubles of an aunt I loathe. I am spending hours stalled in traffic.
The traffic is easing up at her suddenly. Exit north at Mannheim.
The Priory of St. Albertus Magnus. Ungainly neo-Gothic building set to one side of a beautiful park. Men in long white robes scuttle along, hoods pulled up over their faces. Vaulted concrete ceiling disappears in the gloomy light several stories up. Marble flagstones. You can tell people spend a lot of time praying here. Excuse me?
Yes?
I'm looking for the prior's office. I'm looking for the prior's office.
Turn left down the corridor past the icons. On one side is the chapel, and across from it is the prior's office.
Thank you.
Father Carroll?
Yes?
V.I. Warshawski.
Oh, come. Come in, Mr. Warshawski.
Sorry, I'm a little late.
Please, do sit down. I'll just be a moment. Sorry, Mr. Hatfield.
Frail man, perhaps 50. White woolen robes, faintly yellow with age. Rubs his eyes as he listens on the telephone.
Well, actually, she's right here.
Sparsely furnished office. Crucifix over one wall, the only decoration.
No.
Wide desk, scuffed with age.
Well, I think I should talk to her.
Institutional linoleum, partly hidden by a threadbare carpet.
Well, thank you very much. I'll be in touch again soon. Goodbye, Mr. Hatfield. Yeah.
Derek Hatfield? Works for fraud on the FBI?
That's right. He was here with Ted Dartmouth from the Securities Exchange Commission when the forgeries were discovered, and he asked me not to talk to you. He thinks this is a matter for the FBI and the SEC, and an amateur such as yourself might muddy the waters, make the investigation more difficult. His words, not mine.
A competent young man. Very little sense of humor. Father Carroll, I've been a private investigator for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of financial crime, and I've got a very good reputation. I have references.
Relax, Miss Markowski. I told your aunt that I'd talk to you. You see, Mrs. Vignelli worked for St. Albert's very faithfully for a very long time, so we owe her something. And as soon as we get this business cleared up, she knows that we want her back.
Tell me what happened.
Well, the securities were kept in this safe right here. Now, as you can see, it's one of those old cast iron models with a combination lock.
May I?
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to kneel.
My mother always told me to keep a spare pair of tights in the car. Have you always used the same combination?
Oh, yes.
So anyone here could have found out what it is?
Well, the lock wasn't forced.
How many people do you have here at the Priory?
Well, there are 21 students at the House of Studies and 11 priests on the teaching faculty, but a lot of neighborhood people worship with us in the chapel.
Well, who actually had official access to the safe?
Well, I do, of course, and your aunt, the procurator, he handles the financial affairs, and the student master.
Well, why were the stocks kept here instead of a bank vault?
But I wondered that same thing when I was elected last May. I didn't know then that we kept $5 million worth of stocks on the premises.
What?
And to tell you the truth, I didn't even know that we owned them.
$5 million? Wow.
They were left to the Priory 10 years ago by a wealthy man in Melrose Park.
How did you discover the forgeries?
Well, the Priory buildings here are about 80 years old. The roof and the furnace need urgent repairs. It seemed reasonable to sell some shares and use that money. So I brought up the matter at chapter meeting, and I got an agreement. I met with a broker who agreed to sell $80,000 worth of our shares.
And then what happened?
Well, he called back after a week. The Fort Dearborn Trust, the company's stock transfer agents, examined the shares and found they were counterfeits. Forgeries. So we had all the remaining certificates looked at, and they were all fakes. And according to the FBI man, they're extremely good forgeries. They'd fool any ordinary observer.
I see. Father Carroll, may I meet the student master and the procurator and your predecessor? Now, where's he?
Well, I'm afraid my predecessor is in Pakistan for a year running a Dominican school. But the student master and the procurator will be at lunch. You're welcome to join us.
Thank you.
The food isn't very interesting, I'm afraid. Toasted cheese sandwiches, Kraft American.
Well, that's my favorite cheese after Stilton and Brie, Father Carroll.
Oh, Stephen.
The factory. Like a high school gym.
I'd like you to meet Miss Warshawski. She's Rosa Vignelli's niece.
Long deal tables, wooden folding chairs, hospital green walls.
This is Father Yablonski.
How do you do? Pudgy, middle-aged man. His head emerges from a fringe of gray hair like a soft-boiled egg from an egg cup.
Miss Warshawski is a private investigator. Father Yablonski is our student master.
How do you do?
And this is Father Augustine Pelly, the procurator.
How do you do, Miss Warshawski?
Father Pelly, very tanned. What does a monk go sunbathing in midwinter?
Miss Warshawski is going to look into our missing securities.
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't understand.
I'm a private investigator.
Does Miss Warshawski think she can succeed where the FBI and the SEC are baffled?
would you please excuse me for a moment?
Of course.
I didn't realize Mrs. Vignelli had any family besides her son. Yablonsky's never mentioned you.
We're not very close.
Then why on earth are you here?
Perhaps you think I'm posing as Rosa's niece just to get inside the priory?
Well, now the security's a gun. There's nothing worth worming your way into the priory for. Unless you have some secret fetish for friars.
I assume Father Carroll has looked into your credentials.
There's no reason to. He isn't hiring me. I have a copy of my PI license on me, but I don't carry identification that says I'm Rosa Vignelli's niece. You could call her, of course.
I'm not doubting you. I'm just concerned for the priory. The publicity we're getting is detrimental to us. I don't want anyone, even if she's the Pope's niece, stirring things up any further.
Mrs. Vignelli doesn't strike one as the type of woman to need protection.
Oh, she certainly doesn't, Father Jablonski. But Rosa's aging. She seems a little frightened that she might not be able to work here anymore. She centered a good part of her life around this church, and she feels isolated. So she doesn't have a big organization with a lot of political connections behind her.
Ah, you subscribe to the popular myth about the political power of the Catholic Church, the direct line from the Vatican that was going to control John Kennedy, that sort of thing? It's beneath discussion, Miss Warshawski.
Are you saying the church doesn't get involved in politics?
I'm saying that, yes. It's not our job.
Uh-huh. And what about the way local pastors try to influence their congregations to vote for anti-abortion candidates?
I think pastors would be gravely lax in their moral duty if they didn't try to oppose abortion in every way possible.
Whether we think abortion is a moral issue or a private matter between a woman and her physician, it is clearly highly political.
Perhaps we could keep our remarks to the specific points that you've come here to discuss?
Fine, let's do that. So do you know anyone who would have reason to steal close to $5 million from the priory?
No one. We take vows of poverty.
Almost anyone with access to the priory could have taken that money. What kind of turnover do you have among your friars?
Well, every year students leave. Some have been ordained, others find the conventual life doesn't suit them. People who taught at other Dominican institutions come here or vice versa. Father Pelle here has just returned from 6 months in Ciudad Isabella. He was a student in Panama and likes to spend a certain amount of time down there.
The suntan. What about young men who have left the order in the last decade?
We screen our applicants before we allow them to become novices.
Well, are you making any progress, Miss Warshawski?
We've progressed past some wild accusations about the church in general to an attack on young men who have left the order. Not exactly what I'd expect from a nice Catholic girl.
Wrong on both counts, Father Pelle. I'm not a girl, and I'm not a Catholic.
Now, come on, Father Pelle. 85% of the world's population aren't Catholics. That should make us more charitable, not less.
I'm sorry, Miss Warshawski. I'm afraid my experience in Central America has made me sensitive to criticism about the church and politics.
Sensitive how?
Two of our priests were shot in El Salvador last spring. The government suspected they were harboring rebels.
Look, even if the church is working for the poor, as in El Salvador, it is still, in my book, up to its neck in politics.
Now, the trouble with people like you and Augustine here, Miss Warshawski, is when the church is on your side, whether it's fighting racism or poverty, it's just being sensitive, not political. When you disagree with it, then it's political, not to no good. But no hard feelings, Miss Warshawski. I like a good fighter.
No hard feelings. Father Pelle, perhaps you know whether the shares were ever authenticated. It's possible they came to you as forgeries.
It never occurred to us, I'm afraid. Perhaps we're too unworldly.
Well, that's not for me to say, Father Pelle. May I speak to Mr. Hatfield? Oh, I see. Would you tell him Miss Warshawski wants to talk to him about the priory forgeries? Yes. That's right. Yes. Warshawski. 2:30. Fine. Goodbye. Hello?
Hello, Vic?
Yes, who's this?
Roger Ferrand.
Roger?
Yeah, that's right. Last spring, remember?
Roger?
Yeah.
What are you doing in Chicago?
Oh, the firm sent me over here for a few weeks. How are you?
I'm fine, just fine.
Wonderful. Can we have dinner?
Did you like my act the first time so well you want an encore?
What do you mean?
Well, I fell asleep across from you at the steakhouse, remember?
Of course I remember. That's why I want to have dinner with you, to see if I can keep you awake. You're a challenge. So, when are you free?
Actually, I'm free tonight.
Well, good. Where shall we meet?
The Café Firenze.
Italian?
Of course.
Is the food good?
No red check tablecloths or Chianti bottles.
polished wood tables, flour in a Tuscan pottery vase, and they make their own pasta.
Hmm. Okay, see you there at 7:30.
7:30. A shower, and then...
Yellow silk top, black velvet slip, black and orange scarf.
Eye-catching, but not vulgar.
Signorina.
I'm meeting someone, Giuseppe.
Ah, yes, he's there. Corner table.
Thank you. I haven't changed. Dark hair, carefully combed, falls in his eyes. Well-tailored casual slacks, tiny pleats at the waist. Dark green sweater over a pale yellow shirt. Oh, nice. Roger Ferret. Well, well.
Miss Vashovsky.
Ah, Vic.
Welcome back to Chicago.
You look wonderful.
You look pretty good, too. When'd you get in?
3 days ago.
And they must hate you in London to send you to Chicago in January. Yeah, if you stay through February, then you'll know you are really on their hit list.
Oh, I've been here before in winter. I know what to expect.
Why have you come?
Are you ready to order, Signorina? What do you have, Vic?
Well, I'll have a fried artichoke and the polo in galantina.
Yeah, same for me.
And a bottle of Rufino. Ah,
thank you. Now, before I tell you why I'm here, I want your life history.
Before dinner?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to fall asleep over the meal, I want all the information I can get about you.
Well, my mother was from Florence. Her family was half Jewish. They scattered at the beginning of the war. She came here. Her brother went to Africa. The cousins went every which way. She died of cancer when I was 15. I think about her all the time. She trained to be a singer.
Yeah, really? Opera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she came here, she couldn't afford to continue her lessons, so she taught instead. She taught me. Hoped I'd have a career for her. I don't have a big enough voice, and I don't really like opera.
Oh, I love it.
I always got more pleasure from baseball. Now, my dad used to take me to the Chicago Cubs. He was a cop. Polish.
Cricket in Highgate, that's me.
Just a stereotyped Englishman?
Not entirely.
Tell me why you're here.
Oh, well, my company owned 3% of Ajax Insurance. The head of their reinsurance division here died last month. They need someone who knows the London market, and I'm filling in until they find someone with the right qualifications.
How strange.
Why?
Well, I don't follow the stock market that closely, but I noticed in the Wall Street Journal the price of Ajax shares seems to be going up. Looks like your firm picked a winner.
Yes, I've noticed that. And you know, it worries me. I mean, we're not doing anything spectacular in the way of earning, not buying any companies or selling off any properties. What else makes the share price go up?
Well, I think sometimes investors take a whimsical fancy to a stock. Mm. Insurance companies fared better than most businesses during the last recession. Mm. I'm not an expert, but I could give you the name of a broker I know who might have some information, if you like.
Well, that would be very helpful.
Her name's Agnes Pechorek. I'll give you her number later.
Thank you.
Come to think of it, she might be able to help me with a case I'm working on.
Oh, what's that? Or is it confidential?
No, I don't think so. I'm investigating some counterfeit securities. My Aunt Rosa is under suspicion.
Oh, dear.
I hate her. I would love to see her put away for securities fraud, but I'm afraid she's just an innocent bystander. No, on second thought, no one who ever met Rosa would think of her as innocent. Crime-free is probably a better description. But there's something odd. I can't work it out yet.
A fried artichoke, Signorina. Signor... Well, it smells delicious.
Mm, it is. Where are you staying?
Well, afraid you'll have to forgive the decor.
Orange couch, chrome chairs, black fabric seats.
Bloody awful, isn't it? Still, there is plenty to drink. What will you have?
A Johnny Walker Black Label, please.
Coming up.
Oh, what a view.
Mm. You are.
Thanks. See those lights?
Yeah.
That's Southworks, 12 miles away. They used to live there. Wooden house made distinctive by my mother's artistry.
You miss her, don't you?
I do. I think about her a lot. Your health, Roger. Is your sweater cashmere?
Yes, it's not.
Well, it just might not take too kindly to Scotch and... You know, I'm going to put my arms around you. I guess I'd better put my glass down, huh?
What's your blouse made of?
Feel it and see.
Silk.
Oh.
Mm.
Mm. I am. Making love standing up is just not as easy as it seems in the movies.
Well, we could lie down on the carpet.
On an orange carpet? Give me a break.
Well, if we put the light out, we won't notice the color. Or...
Yeah.
The bed is king-sized and it has a blonde Scandinavian headboard.
Oh, with a blonde Scandinavian.
I'm afraid not.
Mm, I just have to settle for you. What's the time?
8 o'clock.
Where are you going?
My office. Some of us have got real jobs.
Come here. You know your eyes are really dark blue in the morning.
Yes, there's my dressing gown here.
Oh, blue paisley. How very English.
I'll make some coffee.
I don't want to get up.
Lay about. Haven't you got anything to do?
Until this afternoon. Can I call my answering service?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Iwolf Shafsky.
Hi, it's me.
Your cousin Alva called 3 times, once late last night, twice this morning. Second time he left his office number.
Ah, oh, thanks. Okay, I have it.
Here's your coffee.
Thanks. Oh, good coffee, Roger.
Toast?
No, thanks.
Hello?
Albert, you have something to say to me?
Where have you been?
I had an all-night sex and dope orgy. Sex was terrible, but the coke was great. You want to come next time?
Ha ha. I might have known you wouldn't take Mama's problems seriously.
I am not laughing, Albert. If you read the paper, you know how hard it is to get good coke these days.
You went to St. Albert's Priory yesterday.
I did.
What did you find out?
Well, it's going to be tough. Our best hope is that the securities were faked before the Priory got them. I'm meeting with the FBI this afternoon to see if they're looking into that.
Well, Mama has changed her mind.
Yeah, about what?
Oh, she doesn't want you to investigate this after all.
I don't believe this.
Mama feels...
But I am not a vacuum cleaner you switch on and off at will, Albert. You don't start me on an investigation and ring up 2 days later and say you've changed your mind.
Yeah, your contract says, termination of the case may be requested by either party whether the desired results are obtained or not. If you send me a bill, Victoria, I'll pay promptly.
I smell my brain burning, Albert. Has Rosa found a detective she likes better? Or did Carol call and promise her the job back if she got me out of the investigation?
Mama feels she was acting in a very unchristian way.
When Rosa called me on Sunday, she made it sound as if her suicide would be on my head if I didn't come out and help her.
Rosa knows her name will be cleared. If it's not, she'll bear it like a Christian.
Oh, how noble. Now, Rosa, as a bitter martyr, is a pose I know well. The woman of sorrows is a new departure.
Really, Victoria, you're acting like a child. Just send me your bill.
Cousin Albert, I will send you a bill when I have finished the job to my own satisfaction and not before.
In episode 1 of Killing Orders by Sarah Ferretsky, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski. With Martin Shaw as Roger Ferrant, Avril Clark as Gabriella, Eileen Way as Rosa, William Hootkins as Albert. Don Fellows was Father Carroll, Colin Stinton, Father Pelly, and Peter Penry Jones, Father Yablonsky. Killing Orders was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.
Typical. Rosa drags me all the way out to Melrose Park, screams about Gabriella and my duty to my dead mother, sends me off on a wild goose chase, and then calls the whole thing off.
Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky.
Calm down, Vic.
What do you mean, calm down?
Well, tell me what's going on.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
My Aunt Rosa called me after a 10-year silence to ask me to investigate some counterfeit securities. She's been suspended from her job until the forgeries are solved. Now, she wants me to stop. I don't understand.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
Coffee?
Gallons. Oh, may I?
Yeah, of course.
Episode 2, Forging Ahead.
St. Albert's Priory?
Hello?
Father Carroll?
Yes?
This is V.I. Warshawski.
Oh, hello.
I wonder, have you spoken with my aunt since I saw you yesterday?
With Mrs. Vignelli? No. Why?
Well, she says she doesn't want any further investigation into the counterfeit securities. She seems to think worrying about them is unchristian.
Huh. What a curious idea.
So you didn't advise my aunt to drop the investigation?
Oh, of course not. I want the mystery solved.
Or did anyone else at the Priory talk to her?
Well, not as far as I know. Are you dropping the case?
No way, Father Carroll. I'll be in touch. Goodbye.
Bye.
There you are.
Thanks. Maybe Rosa's just getting old, huh? And she probably imagined she could make her problem disappear by scowling at it the way she made everything else, including her late husband, Carl, disappear. She ordered me to take care of it, and then it would go away, right? Now she decides it's not worth the fight. I don't get it.
Come on, Vic. You're too wound up in old family quarrels.
Maybe you're right.
Well?
Well, what?
What are you going to do?
About what?
About your aunt.
Nothing.
Are you giving up the case?
Of course not. Why should I? Look, I better go, Roger. I got things to do.
Yeah, well, just a minute. You remember we were talking about Ajax last night? You mentioned a friend who might have some information about shares in the stock market.
Yeah, Agnes Pachorek.
Yeah, that's the one. Tell me about her. I'll finish your coffee.
Okay. Agnes and I were at the University of Chicago together. I was in law school. She was a math whiz. We met at a college woman's group. She's just the best.
Can you give me a number?
Okay. Well, then I gotta go.
Okay.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. Traffic light, Dearborn and Adams. Leave the Omega in a self-parked garage across the street and walk in under the orange legs of Chicago's federal building. 18th floor. I have an appointment with Mr. Hatfield at 2:30.
I'm afraid Mr. Hatfield won't be able to see you this afternoon.
Mr. Shosky, are you waiting for me?
No, I'm not waiting at all. I just arrived. Good to see you, Derek. How's crime?
I don't have a lot of time, Wyshowski.
Oh, I'm so flattered you're making some of it available to me.
Come into my office.
Thank you. Oh, that's a nice view of the Metropolitan Lockup. Must be a great inspiration to you.
Do sit down for a moment.
Nice wood veneer furniture. Suitable for your position as head of white-collar crime for Chicago Region.
Cut the wisecracks, Wyshowski.
Oh, very smart suit, Mr. Hatfield. Muted gray on slightly paler gray with the discreetest of blue stripes woven in.
I said cut it out. You want to talk to me about the securities at St. Albert's Priory?
Yes. You know, this chair's not very comfortable.
Wyshowski.
Okay. Look, it occurred to me the certificates might have been forged before they were passed on to St. Albert's. You know anything about the guy who left them to the Priory?
No.
Do you have a trail on people who left the Dominican Order in the last 10 years?
This forgery is a federal offense. I'm not prepared to discuss the case with you.
Derek, I am very eager for you to solve this crime. I mean, you have the resources. I don't. I'm just here to make sure that a 75-year-old woman doesn't get crushed by the crowd. That's why I'd like to know what you've turned up.
We're following all leads.
That's all you have to say?
That's all I have to say.
Well, gee, I just can't thank you enough for your help. I think I'll drop in on my newspaper friend, Murray Ryerson. He has a nice line in sheepskin coats and cowboy boots, but not your style at all.
Have a nice day, Wyshowski.
Murray, me. You free at 4? Oh, great. Golden Glow. It is not too early for a drink. Fine, don't be late. Oh, you hate flat beer. Johnny Walker Black, Sal.
Coming up. How you doing, V.I.?
Okay.
Well, hi there, V.I.
Oh, Murray. Good to see you. A beer for Murray, Sal.
Sure.
So what gives, V.I.?
Oh, you're so suspicious, Murray.
Hey, I won't say it always spells trouble when you call out of the blue, but it usually means I end up being used.
Look, I will bet you a week of my pay that you have gotten more stories out of me than I've gotten clients out of you.
Hey, a week of your pay wouldn't keep me in beer.
There you go, babe.
Thanks, Sal. What's up?
Did you pick up a story last week about some forged securities in Melrose Park at the Dominican Priory?
Oh, so now you've started hanging around churches, V.I.
It's a family obligation. We Italians, we stick together for thick and thin.
You're only half Italian.
It's the secret romance of the mafia. It's true. When one member of the family's in trouble, the others all rally around.
Oh, so now you're going to knock off somebody in the Priory for the sake of your family honor.
No, but I might knock off Derek Hatfield. Such a bastard.
Now you're talking. Now, anyway, I haven't seen any story about fake certificates. Maybe it wasn't on the wires.
Yep, feds can be pretty secretive about these things.
Especially Mr. Hatfield. I wonder, though,
What?
Do you think the Prior would make a good interview?
You know, why don't you interview my Aunt Rosa? She might know the name of the guy who gave the securities to the Priory.
What good would that do?
Force Hatfield to do something. He might even have to announce how old the dud certificates are.
Are you setting me up to do your dirty work for you, Wachowski?
Maurice, how could you? I just want to make sure the FBI doesn't railroad my poor, frail old aunt.
I'll think about it. Hey, I'm hungry. I know where you can get a terrific whole Dungeness crab. And afterwards, you can come home for a beer.
Afterwards, I'll drop you at the Fullerton L and go home alone. I'm past the age when bed hopping has much appeal, Murray. Oh. Well, Mama, what's next? Look, even if Murray Ryerson turns something up, what can I do if Rosa doesn't want me investigating? And God damn it, Gabriella, why'd you make me give you that stupid promise?
Rosa is fine.
But she hates you.
She still promised. You must help her. And don't you swear at your mother. You know, strictly speaking, Rosa hasn't fired you.
How do you make that out?
Albert calls and says she doesn't want you to continue the investigation, not Rosa.
That's true. That's true. I feel a whole lot better. I stirred a few ingredients at the Priory and the FBI. I'll let them simmer for a bit.
That, my dear, a nice cooking metaphor.
Hello?
Hello, B.I.?
Agnes, how you doing?
Fine. Listen, an Englishman called me. Roger Ferrand?
I know. I gave him your number.
We're meeting for lunch at the Mercantile Club. You downtown? You want to join us?
Sure. Great.
Gotta run. The New York Stock Exchange is on hold. See you at 1.
Ah. Wool crepe de chine pantsuit, high-necked red-striped blouse, and low-heeled black boots.
Warm and smart.
And Roger will like it.
And Roger will like it.
Hi, Roger.
Hi. This is a pleasant surprise.
Agnes invited me to Gatecrash.
Ooh, you look amazing.
Really? Nah, it was just something I grabbed out of the closet.
Yeah, makes me want to grab you.
Oh, careful. This is a gentleman's club, and you are a gentleman.
Oh, says who?
It used to be for the guys in the financial district. Hmm? They had to open their doors to women a few years ago. Now some of the old waiters refused to work tables with women guests.
Oh, very comfortable. How was the FBI?
Had a useless interview with Hatfield. I think I need to start at the other end. Find out who might have created the forgeries in the first place.
How are you going to do that?
I have an idea. Might work.
Hi, B.I.
Agnes. Oh, this is Roger Ferrand.
Delighted to meet you.
Me too. Hey, I'm starving. Shall we eat? I have a table by the window. What are you drinking?
I'm having a whiskey, but I'm happy to move on to beer.
Okay. Waiter. Beer for my guests and Perrier with lime for me. Sober brokers trade better.
Miss Pachurek?
B.I.?
Dover soap.
Steak, rare.
Two steaks, rare. You don't mind if I smoke, do you?
Of course I mind, Agnes. You know I hate cigarettes.
I'll blow the smoke away from you.
I certainly will.
Now, Roger, how can I help you?
Yeah, a man called Barrett in New York called me. He's the Ajax specialist on the New York Stock Exchange. Apparently he's getting a lot of orders for Ajax shares from a small group of Chicago brokers. Nothing wrong, you understand, but he thought I should know about it.
And?
Well, now I know about it, and I'd like to know more.
Specialist brokers are members of the New York Stock Exchange. They're not brokers for the public.
So what do they do?
Well, I'm a broker, right? Someone wants to sell 1,000 shares of Ajax. They call me. I don't go down to the floor of the Chicago Exchange waving them around until a buyer comes along. I phone our broker in New York, and he talks to Barrett. Barrett buys the shares and makes a match with someone who's looking for 1,000 shares. If too many people are unloading Ajax at once and no one wants to buy, he buys on his own account.
So, he creates a market. He's like a go-between.
Yeah, that's right.
Your drink, Smith.
Thanks.
Mrs. Pachurek.
Oh, please call me Agnes.
Yeah, right. Did you have time to make any inquiries?
Yeah. From what I gather, something unusual has been going on with Ajax for the last few weeks. There's been a tremendous amount of buying, about 7 times the normal volume. The price is starting to go up. Not a lot. Insurance companies aren't glamour investments, so you can have heavy action without too much notice being taken. Did Barrett give you the names of the brokers placing the orders?
Yes, they didn't mean anything to me. Would you look at these names, see if they tell you anything?
Sure. I guess what we're all assuming, to put the evil thought into blunt words, is that someone may be trying a covert takeover bid for Ajax. If that's true, they can't have got too far. Anyone with 5% or more of Ajax stock has to file with the Securities Exchange Commission and explain what he's doing with it. Or she.
Well, how much stock would someone need to take over Ajax?
Well, it depends. Someone could carry a lot of weight with 16%. Remember, you don't need to come up with that much capital. Once you bought a large block, you can leverage the rest. That is, you put your existing shares up as collateral for a loan to buy more shares. Then you leverage those and keep going. Before you know it, you got yourself a company. That's oversimplified, of course, but it's a basic idea.
What can I do to find out for sure?
You could call the SEC and ask for a formal investigation, and you'd be sure of getting the names of people who are really doing the buying. That's an extreme step, though. Once they're called in, they're going to scrutinize every transaction and every broker. You'd want to talk to your board before you did that. Some of your directors might not relish having all their stock transactions revealed in the piercing light of day.
And short of that?
You could call Barrett and ask him to send you a list of names the shares were registered in when he sold them. If I know anyone really well, either brokers or the customers, well, I can probably call him.
Thank you. That's very kind.
I'll stop smoking now, V.I.
It's not good for you, Agnes.
That was delicious, my dear.
Good.
It's been a long, depressing day. A child dead of meningitis because her mother wouldn't bring her in. She hung an amulet round her neck and thought it would bring down a fever of 41 degrees, I ask you.
And I'll make you coffee.
Thank you. Now, tell me, what are you trying to prove by continuing on Rose's case? You know your aunt dislikes you. Do you need to prove that you're tougher or smarter or just plain better than she is?
Oh, sometimes, Lottie, you know you are about as pleasant as a can opener. Look, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about Rosa. It's not as though she were an obsession. Rosa treated my mother very badly when she was alive. If I can show Rosa that she was wrong to try and stop the investigation, perhaps I'll have proved that she was wrong about other things.
You really believe that?
No. No, my feeling self wants that, but my rational self knows otherwise.
So, how will your rational self solve the case?
Well, one thing I can do is look into who actually did the forgeries, and that's where you come in.
What are you getting at?
This isn't easy, Lottie.
It's Uncle Stefan, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got a nerve.
Oh, now look, okay, you can refuse, but you're my only hope, please.
I'm not convinced.
Lottie, you have known me for close to 20 years. I don't want to pry into your family's secrets. I just thought that your uncle might help my aunt. I mean, if anyone knows the forgery business inside out, it's your Uncle Stefan.
Oh,
okay. Lottie, I'm sorry. Forget I ever mentioned it.
I'm sorry, my dear. I shouldn't be so sensitive.
Tell me about him.
After I left Europe with my brother in 1959, well, Hugo and I spent what time and money we had searching for relatives. When I came to Chicago, I discovered Uncle Stefan in a federal prison at Fort Leavenworth. Forged currency was his speciality. Although he did have some social conscience in his crime, he was forging passports for sale to the many Europeans trying to come to America at the time.
I see.
I visited him, and he stayed with me for 6 months when he was released. I was his only family. He got a job doing custom work for a jeweler. After all, he wasn't a robber, so they weren't afraid he'd lift the stones. As far as I know, he's never stepped over the edge again.
Do you see him?
Sometimes. He's 82. He's brilliant. A genius. He might just be the one person who could help you.
Will you introduce me?
We'll go for tea.
And we are told there are no delays on Lakeshore Drive.
Morning. Air clear, cold. Bright winter sun casts a strong glare back from snowdrifts lining the roads. Halsted has not been plowed north of Belmont. The Omega jumps skittishly from rut to rut on the way to the Kennedy Expressway in Melrose Park. Sunglasses. If you go down in the woods today, you better not go alone. Up, turn north on Mannheim. In Melrose Park, even the side streets have been carefully cleaned. Maybe there's something to be said for suburban living after all. The path leading to the side door has been shoveled neatly. Perhaps there's something to be said for living with Albert. Albert! What a lovely morning.
What the hell are you doing here?
I am sure Aunt Rosa would be shocked to hear you greet me so ungraciously.
Mama doesn't want to talk to you. I thought I made that clear.
No, you made it clear you didn't want me talking to her. That's by no means the same thing. Hey, what are you doing?
Get out!
Ow! Oh! Look, you may be heavier than me, Albert, but I'm trained. Now then, invite me in!
Who is he, David?
Shut the door, Albert. It's freezing. You don't want your mother to catch cold.
Bitch!
Albert, who is this?
It's me, Rosa. What? Boy, it smells good. What are you cooking? Vegetable soup. You know you still have that old 1930s sink. Takes me back. You ought to get Albert to paint the walls.
don't have no wish to talk to you, Victoria.
Please don't point that knife at me, Rosa. It looks sharp. You know, I am not a television you turn on and off at will. A week ago you called me, played a tremolo passage on the family violin, and dragged me out here against my will. On Thursday, something got the better of you. Now, you looked at the lilies of the field and decided it was wrong to have me toiling and spinning over your innocence. Rosa, it sounds beautiful. It does not sound like you.
How should you know? You were never even baptized. I would not expect you to know how a Christian behaves.
You could be right. The modern world offers few opportunities to see one in action. Rosa, if you had picked a private investigator out of the Yellow Pages, one who had no connection with you, it would be different.
I have changed my mind. That is my right.
Was it your own idea?
Naturally. I discussed it with Albert.
Naturally. Who else?
I am saying nothing.
Who are you protecting, Rosa? Okay, I see. You know, the other day I was trying to figure an approach that I was better equipped to handle than the FBI, and I came up with one. But now you just offered me a better one. I'll get surveillance on you and find out who you talk to.
Just what I would have expected from the daughter of a whore.
Hey, don't you dare talk about Gabriella like that.
You would not love her so much if you knew the truth.
Thanks, Rosa. Look, I'll be back next week for another lesson in Christian conduct. Perhaps you were right. Perhaps I'm not welcome here.
I told you. I'll see you out, Victoria.
No oil's burning.
You really should knock it off, huh? She's pretty worried.
Why do you stick up for her? Stop being such a mama's boy. Get yourself a girlfriend. Get your own apartment. Nobody's going to marry you while you're living with her.
You mind your own damn business!
How dare she? She not only insults Gabriella, she manipulates me into hitting her.
It's not important, Clara.
I can't believe I've done it, Mom. I feel sick.
What are you going to do? Apologize to her?
No way. Last thing I'll ever do is apologize to that old witch. I'm going to take my ice skates, drive over to the park at Montrose Harbor, I'm going to skate till I drop.
Hello.
Hi, Vic.
Roger? Hi.
How about a movie tonight?
Sounds good.
Yeah, popcorn and Shirley MacLaine. I'll pick you up at 7:30.
Great. Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Miss Wachowski?
Yes?
You're investigating the forged securities at St. Albert's, I believe.
Who is this?
A friend, Miss Wachowski. A very good friend. Don't continue with the case, Miss Wachowski, please.
You gotta be joking.
You have such beautiful gray eyes. I would hate to see them after someone poured acid on them.
Hello? Hello? Jeez. Come on. Roger.
Yeah, what is it, Vic?
You value your life. Stay away from the moor at night.
What are you talking about? What's happened?
A telephone call. A man. A voice. His voice was so careful, without accent, like distilled water. Somebody wants me away from the forgeries badly enough to threaten to pour acid on me.
What? Oh, Vic, you must call the police.
The police can't do anything, Roger. You got any idea of the number of crank calls made in the city in one day?
Well, they could at least send someone around to keep an eye on you.
Oh, sure, yeah. If they didn't have 800 murders to investigate and 10,000 armed robberies, a few thousand rapes. They can't look after me just because somebody wants to make a crank phone call.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I feel better now that I've told you.
Look, shall I come round?
No, I'm fine. I'll see you later. Okay, bye.
North to Irving Park Road and over to the Kennedy. Turn right on Eaton's Fork.
Maybe this isn't such a good idea, Lottie.
Why on earth not?
I'm not really sure. It's one thing for me to risk my life just to prove a point, but it's not fair to drag you and your uncle into it as well.
You can't say you're asking us to risk anything. If Uncle Stefan thinks of anything that might help...
I don't want you to run risks.
I think I get enough experience in my operating room to be able to evaluate risk.
Fine, Lottie.
Hi, Uncle Stefan.
Oh, Lottie.
This is my friend, V.I. Wachowski.
How do you do, my dear? So, two beautiful ladies decide to cheer up an old man's afternoon. Come in, come in. Now, sit down. Have some coffee.
Oh, what a beautiful coffee pot. All those nymphs and unicorns.
Oh, it's silver, made in Vienna in the early 18th century.
cream?
Oh, no, no, thank you. Just black.
Mm. Okay, good.
Uncle Stefan's pastries are so rich, they border on the erotic.
You are not one of those ladies who eat nothing for fear of ruining her beautiful figure, are you?
No, I'm not.
Good. American girls are too thin, aren't they, Lurchen?
Oh, fine.
Well, you should prescribe Shakatota for your patients. It's very good for you, you know.
Mmm. Well, the coffee's delicious. All right, just a small cake, then.
Mm. Help yourself. Now, Lottie says you wish to talk about engraving.
Mm. Yes. I'm investigating some forged certificates.
You want to know how difficult it would be to forge something like that well enough to fool someone who is used to looking, huh?
That's right. I brought one of my own share certificates so you can see the kind of thing I mean.
Come over. Come over to the desk now. Let me see. Most shares are printed on a heavy-grade parchment. It is not easy to obtain. It has a characteristic weave. And to fool an expert, you would need to make sure of this weave. Now, they make the paper like this on purpose, you see, so as to make the poor forger's life more difficult. Then you have the logo of the issuing company, and have several signatures, each with a stamp over it. Have you seen these fake shares?
No. All I know is that the serial numbers were ones that the issuing company had never used.
Mm. Do you know how the forger intended to use them? That would tell how good, how convincing they had to be.
Well, the only real use for phony shares would be as collateral. And the forgeries could have been done any time in the last 10 years. But just suppose, for the sake of argument, they were made recently. Mm. How would I find out who did them, assuming he or she worked in the Chicago area?
Lurchen has told you about my past.
A little.
Now I created $20 bills. Masterpieces. I made all my own equipment.
A true craftsman, Uncle Stefan.
No, there are really two breeds of forger, Miss Wachowski. Independent artisans like me and those who work for an organization. Now, here you have someone who has done the work at another's request. What you really want is the client. Am I not right?
Yes, you are.
Yes, I cannot help you find the engraver, but perhaps I could help you find the client.
How?
By making up such a piece and letting it be known that I have one for sale.
Well, that might work, but you'd be running a risk. Look, if the FBI found out, it would be very hard to convince them your motives were pure.
Young lady, I am an old man. Although I enjoy life, my fear of death has passed. Such an occupation would be rejuvenating.
But the FBI, Vic?
Hmm?
You're crazy, Stefan. You can't risk the law again.
Lurchen, you have been kind to me and helped me in the past, but now, if you will forgive me, mind your own damn business.
On your grave, you will put a marker reading, "He died stubborn."
It is agreed, then. Now, some practical details. I will need to keep the certificate.
What about equipment?
Oh, I will send you the bills.
Look, to be on the safe side, don't call me. If you need to talk to me, run a personal ad in the Herald Star.
Mm.
How long will it take?
No, I'm not sure. I cannot promise a speedier result.
Yes?
Miss Rachovsky, I have some extraordinary news. We found the original certificates.
What? Where were they?
They were on the altar this morning when we began celebrating Mass.
Have you called the FBI?
Yes, yes. And they sent someone out to take the certificates away. They thought there might be dust or something to show where they'd been stored. But they're going to bring them back tomorrow, and I'm putting them straight into a bank vault.
I see. By the way, was my Aunt Rose at Mass this morning?
Yes, she was.
Was her son Albert there?
No, no, but he's not usually here. Oh, by the way, remember your question about whether anyone at the Priory talked to Rosa about pulling out of the investigation? Well, none of the fathers talked to her. I asked, but that's all academic now, anyway.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
And there's even a story in the Herald Star about the certificates. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's by Murray Ryerson. He's a good journalist.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Is he? Well, I'm very grateful to you, Miss Warchowski. I'm glad it's all over now.
Hey, Murray.
Morning, Harold.
Hi.
What brings you onto my territory?
I've just been to the Priory.
Huh?
Well, what the hell's going on? Who returned the certificates, you know?
No, I talked to Hatfield. You know what an arrogant, uncommunicative bastard he is. I got him in a corner, and he finally admitted the FBI's dropping the investigation.
What?
Putting it on the back burner, he said. That means dropping it.
Well, I guess if the real things have turned up, they don't need to worry, huh?
Yeah, and I believe in the Easter Bunny. Come on, Vic.
Okay, worldly-wise newspaper man, who's applying the screws? The FBI isn't scared of anybody except maybe J. Edgar Hoover's ghost. You think somebody's backing them off? Who?
Well, no organization is exempt from pressure if you know where the right nerves are. Is there something you're not telling me, Vic?
Murray, how could you think?
Just a second. Something's coming in on the wire. Oh, my God.
What is it, Murray?
You better sit down, V.I.
Murray, stop treating me like a child. Read it.
Tonight, the top local story is the violent death of a Chicago stockbroker. A cleaning woman found the body of broker Agnes Pechorek.
Oh, no.
In one of the conference rooms in the offices of Felstein, Holtz, and Woods, where Miss Pechorek worked.
Oh, Murray.
She had been shot twice in the head.
What is going on?
Miss Pechorek's purse was recovered from the locked drawer in her desk. The police have no idea as yet of the motive for the crime.
In episode 2 of Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski, with Martin Shaw as Roger Ferrant, Miriam Carlin as Lottie Herschel, Morris Denham as Uncle Stefan, and John Bennett as O'Phelan. Avril Clark was Gabriella, Eileen Way, Rosa, Don Fellows, Father Carroll, William Hootkins, Albert, Lorelei King, Agnes Pechorek, Harry Shale, Murray Ryerson, Andrew Wincott, Derek Hatfield, and Adjua Ando was Sal. Killing Orders was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.
What else is there, Murray?
Just a minute.
Hurry up.
Okay, now. Agnes Pechorek was shot at about 8 last night.
Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky.
.22 caliber bullets in the brain. Office door is not locked. Cleaning women locked behind them when they finish 60th floor, usually at 11 o'clock.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
Martha Gonzalez cleaned floors 57 through 60. Got to the floor at a usual time, 9:15, saw nothing unusual on premises, got to conference room at 9:30, saw body, called police.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
No personal attack, no sign of break or struggle. That's all, I'm afraid.
Episode 3, Acid Test.
One of my oldest friends. Why? Why?
Want a drink?
No, thanks, Murray.
Where are you going?
Home. Home to think about Agnes.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Hi, Vic.
Roger. Hello.
Well, can I come in?
Why not?
I heard about Agnes's death on the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah.
I feel responsible.
You feel responsible? What'd you do? Send a punk up to the 60th floor of the Fort Dearborn Tower?
I feel responsible because she was staying late working on this possible Ajax takeover for me.
If you hadn't called her, she'd have been there working late on another project. That lady worked hard. Come to think of it, you wouldn't have called her if I hadn't given you her number, so if anyone's responsible, it's me. I won't believe that. Have a drink, Roger.
How much of that have you had?
It's my third.
Do you think you should?
I'll do as I damn well like. How did you know Agnes was working late on your project tonight?
I spoke to her this afternoon. She said she was going to stay late and talk to some of her broker pals.
In person or on the phone?
Oh, I can't remember exactly what she said. I had the impression she was planning to meet someone.
Look, how does it happen? I start off investigating some forged share certificates. Somehow one of my oldest friends is murdered. What is the connection?
Come on. Think about it tomorrow, Vic. Huh?
Yeah, okay. Have a drink, Roger. Please.
No, you'll feel terrible in the morning.
I feel terrible now. 6 ounces of whiskey won't make any difference. You know, Agnes and I went back a long way together.
Yeah, I know.
back to the golden age of the 60s when we thought love and energy would end racism and sexism. Her parents fought her about her friends, her lifestyle, her ambition. She won every battle.
Have you spoken to them?
No. Her mother will say, they always knew this would happen, working downtown where the niggers are. Give me the bottle.
All right. Then bed, okay?
Okay. I don't want to speak to anybody.
Yes? No, I'm afraid she's asleep. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yes, I've got that. Thank you. Goodbye.
Who was it?
Lieutenant Robert Mallory of the Chicago Police Department. He wants to see you tomorrow morning.
Why the hell does Bobby want to see me?
I don't know, and I don't care. And you're going to bed. Give me the bottle.
Roger.
Come on.
Oh. Well, Gabriella, look what you started.
You want to give up?
No, of course not. Oh, God, my head.
Orange juice and aspirin.
Right. Orange juice and aspirin. Why am I doing this, Gabriella?
You know why. Because your Aunt Rosa was under suspicion of being involved with four shell certificates.
But I hate her.
She's family.
God, I'm too involved now, anyway.
Craig Tashini, pantsuit and a tailored shirt of pale lemon. Bobby likes to see you looking smart.
Lieutenant Mallory joined the police force same year as Dad, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Your father had more brains.
Yeah, less ambition.
Not enough to buck the prejudice against Polish cops in an all-Irish world. That's why Bobby rose and Tony sat on the beat.
You know, Mallory hates to talk to me about crime. He thinks Tony Warshawski's daughter should be making a better world by producing happy, healthy babies, not catching desperados. 9:23. Pull into the visitor's parking lot at the 11th Street station. 9:30, make my way past the high wooden admissions desk where the pimps line up to redeem last night's haul of hookers. Go down the hallway to Mallory's office. This place smells a lot like St. Albert's Priory. Must be the linoleum floors.
Come in.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah. Sit down, Victoria. This is Officer Tarkington. Miss Warshawski is a private investigator, W-A-R-S-H-A-W-S-K-I. Officer Tarkington is going to keep a record of our conversation. Coffee?
Thanks, Bobby. I didn't know this was official.
Were you a friend of Agnes Marie Pachorik?
You're making me feel like I should have my attorney
here.
Just
answer the questions, huh?
My relations with Agnes aren't a secret. Look, unless you tell me what's behind this, I'm not answering any questions.
When did you first meet Agnes Pachorik?
Oh, good coffee.
You and Pachorik are described as sharing an alternative lifestyle. I have been told that you were responsible for introducing the dead woman to unconventional behavior. Now, do you want to comment on that?
Mallory, you must think I'm stupid. I've seen this before, right? Now, you get the witness mad enough to start mouthing off who knows what self-constructed pitfall they'll wander into. I'm going to count to 10. Uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque.
You and Pachorik were lesbians! When Tony was dying, you were up at the University of Chicago screwing around like some pervert! It wasn't enough that you demonstrated against the Vietnam War. You got involved with that filthy abortion underground. Oh, we could have pulled you in on that, oh, yeah. 100 times over, but everybody wanted to protect Tony. Jesus, you were the most important thing in his world, and all the time, you were... Jesus Christ, Victoria. When I talked to Mrs. Pachorik this morning, God damn, I wanted to puke.
You charging me with something, Bobby?
Oh, my God, you...
Because if you aren't, I'm leaving.
No, you don't, young lady. You sit down right there until we get this straightened out.
There's nothing to straighten out. First of all, under the Illinois Criminal Code, lesbianism between consenting adults is not an indictable offense.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is none of your goddamn business whether or not Miss Pachorik and I were lovers. Secondly, my relations with her are totally unconcerned with your murder investigation. Unless you can demonstrate some kind of connection, I have absolutely nothing to say to you.
Officer Tarkington, would you leave us, please?
Yes, sir.
I should have gotten somebody else to handle this interrogation.
You know, Bobby, what really hurts is that Mrs. Pachorik, who you've never even met, talks to you once and makes you believe this shopping list of calumny. You have known me since I was born.
Yeah, okay. So talk, huh? I'm listening. Talk to me about the Pachorik girl.
Okay. Agnes and I met when we were both students up at the university. I think sometimes, you know, I'll never feel that alive again.
Yes, so?
Well, the dreams started falling apart. We had Watergate with drugs. Racism and sexual discrimination continued despite our enthusiasm. So we all settled down to deal with reality and earn a living. I guess my ideals died the hardest. It's often that way with the children of immigrants. We need to buy their dreams so bad we sometimes just can't wake up.
And Agnes?
Oh, Agnes's story is a little different. Her father is a successful cardiac surgeon. Her mother is old Catholic money. Convent of the Sacred Heart for prep school, all that stuff. Agnes was born fighting it all. She got all swept up in the causes of the 60s, but for both of us, feminism was the most important. Anyway, Mrs. Pachorik decided to hang old Agnes's weird behavior on me. She let her off the hook. I mean, that she wasn't a failure as a parent. Okay, all right, fine. Buy that or not as you choose. But remember this, huh? Sweet, impressionable people don't build up a brokerage business like Agnes did. You know, the older I get, the less politics and all this stuff means to me. Only thing that matters to me is friendship, Bobby. Agnes and I, we were friends for a real long time.
I see.
Why do you want to hear all that?
Look, where were you last night?
Oh, God damn it. You just charged me with murder, okay?
From the way the body looked, we believe she was seeing somebody she expected, huh? Not some chance intruder. We have her office diary here. Have a look.
Wednesday, January 18th. VIW heavily underlined, followed by several exclamation marks.
Yeah. Looks like a date to me. There aren't too many people in the metropolitan area with those initials.
Oh, I see. So, the current theory reads that she and I were lovers and had a falling out. Bobby, Agnes has been living with Phyllis Lording for the last 3 years. I've been involved with God only knows who since we left school, besides having been married. Oh, but your theory is that I divorced Dick to keep Agnes happy. Huh? You know, frankly, Bobby, listening to what goes on in the minds of the police makes me feel like I've wandered into a really low-grade porno shop. Is there anything else you want to know?
Yeah, did you see Agnes Pachorik last night?
If this entry in Agnes's diary means she wanted to see me, she forgot to let me know. You can believe it or not. That's it, Bobby. That's the truth.
What do you want to drink?
Orange juice.
You want the menu?
No, I've lost my appetite.
What's the matter?
The police think Agnes was expecting someone last night. Did she tell you anything at all? Anything that would help identify who she was waiting for?
You remember I gave her the names of brokers here in Chicago who've been trading in Ajax shares?
Could be any one of them, I suppose.
Did you keep a copy of the names?
No.
Maybe your secretary can dig it up for me. Now, when Agnes talked to you yesterday, did she mention my name at all?
No. Should she have?
She had my initials in her diary. With Agnes, that means... That meant... A reminder to herself. She wanted to talk to me.
Did you tell Mallory that?
No way. He came up with this extraterrestrial theory about Agnes and me being lovers, and my shooting her out of spite or revenge or something. It didn't make me too confiding.
Oh, Vic. No company takeover is more valuable than a person's life. Please, leave it be. If there is a connection, if you stir up the same people, I just couldn't bear it if anything happened to you.
I'm a grown woman. I make my own mistakes. I'm always careful. I don't want to cause my friends grief.
Well... Add me to the list of friends who don't want to grieve over you, Vic.
Where are you going? You haven't had...
I've lost my appetite as well.
Hello?
Miss Vargas, V.I. Wachowski.
Oh, Miss Wachowski, you heard the news? It's terrible, terrible.
I know. I'm very sorry.
Do you know, Agnes picked me out of the typing pool when I was 18. When she was made a partner, I became her personal secretary. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Alicia, do you feel too upset to talk?
Oh, no. No, I'm fine. If I can help...
I'd like to talk to you about Agnes's interest in this possible Ajax takeover.
Ajax?
The insurance company.
Oh, Jess, I don't know anything about Ajax, I'm afraid.
Well, Agnes was given a list of brokers' names. There were people dealing in Ajax shares. Did you see the list?
No.
Alicia, there's a strong possibility that one of these people might have been coming to see Agnes last night. If so, they would be the last person to see her alive. If you can look for that list, that would be a big help.
I'll see what I can find, Miss Warshawski.
4 o'clock, snow falling. Traffic congested, early commuters trying to escape the expressway traffic. Phyllis Lording's apartment is on Chestnut and the Drive, a very posh neighborhood just north of the loop overlooking Lake Michigan. This is going to be difficult.
It's really good to see you, Vic. Sit down.
Thanks. I'm so sorry, Phyllis. How are you feeling?
Oh, you know. Mrs. Pechorek has been refusing to tell me anything about the funeral arrangements. If you're not married, you don't have any rights when your lover dies.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's not that I feel possessive about Agnes. I know she loved me. I don't need to own her dead body, but I have to go to the funeral. It's the only way to make her death real.
I understand. Look, I'll ask Mrs. Pechorek. If she won't tell me, I'll get the details from the police. But how are you managing?
Okay, I guess. I'm worried about money. I can't afford to keep this place on my salary as a professor. The University of Illinois is not exactly prodigal.
Well, I'm sure that Agnes must have left you a substantial bequest.
The Choreks will probably try to overturn the will.
Yeah, who knows? Phyllis, listen, did Agnes say anything either about Ajax or why she wanted to see me?
She told me she'd had lunch with you last Friday, you and some Englishman. I know she said he brought up an interesting problem, but I can't remember anything else.
Thick falling snow coagulates the traffic even after rush hour. Comfort food is what I want. Pasta, potato chips, pretzels, peanut butter. Oh, pizza. Pizza. I wonder what I've got in the freezer. Stairwell lights are out. That's funny.
Flashlight.
Damn, my gun's in the apartment. Trail of wet footprints up to the second floor. And no more. Play the light across the wall and shiny stairs.
Careful. Carry on.
Half landing to the third floor. Small patch of wet dirt. Someone's come up with wet feet and wiped the stairs behind
them. Put the light off.
Run up the stairs fast. Stoop low. See a heavy shadow. Fling myself at it, keeping my head tucked down on my chest. We fall over in a heap, him on the bottom. I smash where I think his jaw would be. His arm comes up toward my face. Duck. Fall over. Feel something wet on the back of my neck. Oh, God! I've been stung by 50 watts!
In the apartment.
Quick, keys! The keys!
Bottle.
Goes off.
Never mind the clothes. Turn the shower on. Look at your back in the mirror.
Collar of my jacket has dissolved. A thin ring of red where the skin has been partially eaten through. Long fat finger of red goes down my spine. Acid burn. Oh, my God.
Shock.
Out of my clothes, wrapped up in a large towel. Oh,
tea is good for shock.
I hate tea.
Hot milk. Hot milk with lots of honey. Come on. Come on. Milk in the saucepan.
I can't. Mama, I can't. I'm shivering. Jesus.
Answer it. Go on.
Jesus. Who is it?
It's me, Beth.
Lottie. Well, thank God it's you.
I read about Agnes in the newspaper. I came over straight away. Good God, you're soaking. What's happened?
Someone attacked me. I think I broke his jaw.
Let me look at you.
He threw acid on my back.
Where?
Oh, careful.
I'll be careful. Don't worry. Oh, no, it's not very serious. You need a proper dressing. Have you had something to drink?
Hot milk and honey, I thought.
Not like you to be so sensible.
What are you doing?
Hot milk. And honey. Then soup, lentils, carrots, and onions. Go on, answer it. Give you something to think about.
Hello?
How are your eyes, Mrs. Warshawski? Or may I call you Victoria?
My eyes are perfect. I have 20/20 vision. How is your friend? I hope he's hurt.
Oh, Walter will survive. I'm worried about you, Victoria. You might not survive next time. Now, be a good girl and stay away from Rosa and the St. Albert's Priory. You'll feel so much better in the long run.
It's him again, Lottie.
You don't recognize the voice?
No. No, someone knows I was at the Priory yesterday, though. One of the Dominicans has to be involved. No.
What is it?
Roger Ferrant knows I was at the Priory.
Roger wouldn't hire someone to throw acid at you.
I had dinner with him the same day I made my first trip to the Priory, and it was the next day that Rosa tried to get me to abandon the investigation.
You're still in shock, Vic. Here's your milk.
Oh, no.
Now what are you doing?
Getting dressed. I have to talk to Murray Ryerson.
You can talk to him tomorrow, Vic. Just relax.
But can I at least make a phone call?
Just stop, can't you?
Are you telling me to drop the case?
I know better than that. You're a Jill's a giant killer. You always take on things that are too big for you. Anyway, tonight, Vic, I'm keeping an eye on you.
Thank you, Lottie. Just a couple of calls, though.
As long as you stay in the apartment.
Okay. Murray? Hi, it's P.I. Can you meet me tomorrow? Oh, great. Yeah, Golden Glow. Yes, okay, 4 o'clock.
Hello?
Dr. Pachorik, this is B.I. Wachowski.
Oh, yes?
I'm very sorry about Agnes.
Yes, it's terrible.
I'd like very much to come to her funeral. Can you tell me when it will be?
We're not making a public occasion of it, Victoria. The publicity around her death has been bad enough, without turning her funeral into a media event. But
Agnes and I were good friends. It matters a lot to me to pay my last respects to her.
Well, I don't know.
Come on, please.
Very well. The funeral's on Saturday at Our Lady of the Rosary in Lake Forest.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm really grateful.
My wife thinks you might know something about who killed her, do you?
If I did, I would be sure to tell the police, Dr. Pachorik. I'm afraid I don't.
See you Saturday.
Now what?
Just one more.
Oh.
Phyllis? Hi, it's P.I. The funeral's on Saturday at Our Lady of Rosary in Lake Forest. Look, why don't we just go together in case the Knights of Columbus are posted at the church door to keep out undesirables?
Vic!
Okay. I'll see you on Saturday, Phyllis. I'll pick you up.
Drink your milk, Vic.
Gabriella would have been proud of you, Lottie. Toothbrush, gun. Change underwear in my bag. Check all the locks. Used by the back stairs. No one lying in wait for me. Check the Omega carefully before getting in. Today I'll live. Hi, Murray. That was hell.
Sit down, Vic. A beer, Sal.
Coming up. Murray.
Hmm?
Who do you know throws acid on people he doesn't like?
Gee, none of my friends do that kind of thing.
This is not a joke, Murray.
Well, who do you know had acid thrown at them?
Me. I was trying for my eyes, but I was expecting it. I turned away in time. He got the back of my neck. I got him in a jaw.
Jesus Christ.
And I've gotten these two anonymous phone calls. A creepy, bland kind of voice warning me off the case. Murray, I'm scared. I mean, the thought of some maniac out there trying to blind me... I don't have a bullet in the head.
Well, you're stepping on the feet of someone with bunions, V.I. But I don't know who's asked it. I'd be sort of tempted to say it's Rudolfo Fratelli, but the voice doesn't sound right. He's got a sort of a grating voice, and you can't miss it.
Fratelli's a high-ranking member of the Pasquale family. Mafia. Maybe somebody who works for him.
I'll get someone to look into it. Have you told the police?
No.
Can I do a story on the attack?
Why not? Maybe he'll make my anonymous caller a little more cautious if he sees there's a big universe out there keeping an eye open for him. Murray, I'm kind of embarrassed to ask this, okay, but the truth is, I'm not up tonight alone. Can I crash with you?
You know, Vic, it's worth the earful. I'll get canceling my date just to hear you plead for help.
Does that mean yes?
I'll go on telephone.
Saturday, Agnes' funeral. Overcast sky, 10 degrees. Collect Lottie and Phyllis.
They don't know I'm coming, do they?
Nope. What will happen when Mrs. Pachorik realizes who Phyllis is?
Nothing. She wouldn't dare take it out on Phyllis. She still believes I'm the real culprit. If I told her we were coming, she might have instructed the bouncer not to receive us.
The bouncer?
Well, I guess they call them ushers in church. Here we are. I'm not sure I'll ever find Omega again in this sea of limos. Do look at that Cadillac.
I wonder how the elderly and infirm make it to mass up those stairs.
Perhaps Lake Forest Catholics are never bed or wheelchair ridden, but wafted directly to heaven at the first sign of disability. Let's go.
Hi, V.I. I'm so glad you made it.
I wouldn't stay away from Agnes's funeral, Phil. You know that. This is Lottie and Phyllis, also friends of Agnes's.
Well, hi.
Phil, Agnes's brother.
Good to see you. I'd like it if you and your friends could come along to the house afterwards.
We'd be happy to, Phil.
I'll show you the seats near the front.
I must go, Neil. Excuse me.
I didn't know Phyllis had become a Catholic.
There's Mrs. Paciorek.
Oh, she's seen Phyllis. Oh, she looks angry. First two acolytes, one swinging a censer, one carries a large crucifix, then junior clergy, then a magnificent figure in cope and mitre carrying a crozier, Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, Jerome Farber. Behind him, the celebrant, also cope and mitre. A bishop, but not one I recognize. Look at that. Look at that, Lottie.
What?
Well, one of the junior priests is Augustine Pelli, the Dominican procurator.
Well, that's odd. Now, how does he know the Pejorax?
You can find out later. Now, stop talking. I haven't been here since my second year in law school.
What a strange room.
Agnes and I would always come in from the side door through the garage.
What is it?
A conservatory, I think, inspired by the library at Blenheim Palace.
Oh.
It's almost as big. I don't know why they call it a conservatory. It's more like a music room or a library, yeah. All the books and pianos.
Have a drink, V.I.
Thanks, Phil. I'm sorry we had to meet like this.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Do you have any idea why someone would hate Agnes?
Not really, but if I can find out, I will.
Great.
So what are you doing these days?
Oh, I'm finishing a combined MD-PhD program at the University of Chicago. Dad thinks I'm crazy. I'm going into neurobiology as a researcher instead of neurosurgery where the money is. I think Cecilia is the only one of his children who has turned out satisfactorily. Have you seen her?
Not yet.
And she's over there.
Talking to Father Pelli?
You know him?
I've met him. Now, who's the bishop with them? The gray-haired man with the purple Episcopal shirt and the gold chain draped across it?
Oh, that's the Right Reverend Xavier O'Fallon.
Who's he?
Well, actually, he's quite important. He's in charge of the Vatican's financial affairs.
How does he know your family?
He's got some connection with Mother's charity work.
Phil, how dare you?
Cecilia, I'm so...
What's wrong, Cecilia?
I won't shake hands with you, Warshawski. You should know better than to stand here talking to her.
I see.
Mother didn't know you were coming.
I spoke with your dad yesterday. He invited me.
There's nothing wrong.
She said she called you.
Really? Well, she must have gotten my answering service.
Miss Warshawski.
Father Pelli, hello.
You know Father Pelli?
We met out the Priory of Albertus Magnus. I didn't know you were friends of the Pejoraks.
We met in Panama when Dr. and Mrs. Pejorak were stationed there.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Agnes was born in South America. Does Mrs. Pejorak take an interest in your Dominican school in Ciudad Isabella?
Pardon?
No, it's okay, Father Pelli. I'm not reviving the church and politics argument here.
Mrs. Pejorak is interested in a wide range of charities. Her family is famous for its support of Catholic schools
and
missions.
The
boys.
Hmm?
Phil, can you tell me...
Excuse me, V.I., Mother wants me.
Of course. Excuse me, Father Pelli.
Yeah.
Push my way through a mink and sable farm glistening with diamonds to the other side of the room. I must try and find the man with that voice.
I'm worried about you, Victoria.
Sideways against the main flow of traffic. Small knots of people standing beyond the trees, talking and smoking.
Now, be a good girl and stay away from Rosa and the St. Albert's Priory.
Excuse me.
V.I.? Hey, V.I.
What?
Is that really you?
Regina?
It's been so long.
Yeah, yes, it has. Excuse me, Regina.
And how long is it?
What?
My second daughter. She's in eighth grade at Sacred Heart.
Oh, that's wonderful, Regina. Look, it's great to see you again. I must go.
Oh.
Where is he? Where is he?
Victoria.
Oh, damn.
What are you doing here?
Mrs. Pejorak. Dr. Pejorak asked me to the service. Phil invited me back to the house.
I phoned you three times. Each time I told the person who answered to make sure you did not come to my daughter's funeral. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Pejorak. You spoke with my answering service. I was too busy to phone in for messages. And even if I'd gotten your message, I'd still have come. I loved Agnes too much to stay away from her funeral.
How dare you make filthy innuendos in this house?
Love? Filthy innuendos? Oh, God, you're still stuck on the notion that Agnes and I were lovers?
I think you had better leave.
With pleasure. I'll just find Dr. Pachorik and say goodbye to him. He has some dignity, thank God. That boy, son, must find him.
Phil, show Victoria up, please.
V.I., are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'll see you out. It's okay, Mother.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Phil. Look, before I leave, there's someone whose name I'd like to know.
Where is he?
I don't know what he looks like, only how his voice sounds. It's kind of neutral. It's almost deliberately accentless.
That could be a lot of different people.
Well, you know, most people have some kind of regional accent. He doesn't.
Sorry, V.I., it doesn't ring a bell.
If you think of anyone it might be, will you call me?
Sure.
No, you promise. It's important.
I promise.
In episode 3 of Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski, with Martin Shaw as Roger Ferrant, Miriam Carlin as Lottie Herschel, Avril Clark as Gabriella, and John Bennett as O'Phalon. William Hootkins was Bobby Mallory, Colin Stinton, Father Pelly, Helen Horton, Mrs. Pachorik, Stuart Milligan, Phil, Carrie Shale, Murray Ryerson, Lorelei King, Alicia, Teresa Stretfield, Phyllis Lording, Norman Jones, Dr. Pachorik, and Adjua Endo as Regina. Killing Orders was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.
Sunday's Herald Star had a nice little story about my acid burn on the front page. No message from Uncle Stefan in the personal ads.
Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky.
Monday morning, picklocks in my pocket, flashlight, my gun in a shoulder holster under a loose silk jacket.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
Drive the Omega into the loop to begin a day at the brokerage houses in the Midwest Stock Exchange. Roger has given me a list of brokers registered as buying Ajax insurance stock.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
One company appears several times, Wood Sage Incorporated. The address is 120 South LaSalle. Three of the brokers also have addresses there.
Episode 4, The Fire Next Time.
Agnes Pachorik was my broker, Mr. Bearden. She was killed last week. I was about to buy several thousand shares of Ajax when she warned me away from the stock. Now that she's dead, I'm looking for a new broker. I have $500,000 to invest. Can you help me?
Her death was a terrible tragedy. You can't even feel safe working in your own office at night. I'll just check the prices now. Ajax shares have been going up the last few weeks. There's been a lot of talk about a takeover bid for the company. If that's the case, the price will probably continue to go up until the rumor is confirmed one way or the other. If you're going to buy, you should do it now.
Well, that's why I don't understand Miss Pachorik's advice. Why did she warn me not to buy?
I haven't heard anything to counterindicate buying.
Thank you, Mr. Bearden. I need to do some more research before I make a decision.
Here's my card. Just let me know.
Down 11 floors to my next quarry. By noon, I've talked myself dry to 3 different brokerage offices. Everywhere the same. They know the rumors about Ajax. They urge me to buy. None of them show any dismay on hearing either Agnes's name or my interest in Ajax. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. Maybe a late-night burglar intent on computer terminals found Agnes and shot her. Oh, one more firm. Tilford and Sutton.
I had a lot of respect for Agnes's judgment, but... Well, it so happens we're not recommending anyone buy an Ajax. Our feeling is that these takeover rumors have been carefully placed by someone trying to manipulate the stock.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tilford. I'll get back to you. So, Preston Tilford and Agnes both had a hunch about Ajax. 5:00. The building is emptying. Go along the hallway into the ladies' room. Wait till the cleaning women pack up for the night. At 9, a security guard comes up the stairs from the floor below. He's gone. Take my flashlight, gloves on, down the hall to the offices of Tilford and Sutton. The fire exit lights give enough illumination. At the outer door, shine my flashlight around the edges to make sure there's no alarm. Try a series of picklocks until I find the one that works. No windows open into the outer office. Completely dark, except for green cursors flashing urgent messages on blank computer screens. Lucky I've never been afraid of the dark. My mother made sure of that. Thanks, Gabriella.
Use your light as little as possible.
Pick my way past desks, mounds of papers. Preston Tilford's door is solid wood. No one will see a light. Two filing cabinets. Wood quickly.
Just make sure you leave the pages in their original order.
Do me a favor, Mom. I'm a professional.
Sorry, Victoria.
Catherine Pechorek, Agnes's mother. Well, well, well. She's one of Preston Tilford's clients. Oh, Jesus. Mrs. Pechorek bought 2,000 shares of Ajax on December 2nd.
The desk.
Dark mahogany.
Catherine.
Shit. Scratch the surface. Too late to worry now. Bottom drawer, file folders of more clients. Oh!
God.
It's okay. It's okay. They're in order. Weird. An organization called Corpus Christi. What is Corpus Christi?
What does it say?
The Corpus Christi account started in a small way last March. Then it began an active trading program which ran to $7 million by late December.
What kind of company is it?
A religious company, it sounds like. Tilford and Sutton were supposed to take in largest positions in Ajax. The 2,000 shares Mrs. Pechorek bought in December are the only trace of Ajax activity I've seen in the office. Corpus Christi files under the Ajax heading, but I...
Night watchman.
There. Now what?
Oh, there, on the hook.
Brilliant.
You!
Hello?
What's going on here? Where's the manager?
Who are you?
Me? I'm Gabriella Sforzina. I work here. I clean. What are you doing here? Madam, mine il catalogo è questo. Della bella che ha...
Wait, 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 lady. The light was on. You haven't seen anyone on this floor, have you? We think there's a burglar in the building.
Of course the light was on. I work. Why do I pay taxes, huh? That's what I want to know.
Okay.
For bums like you to let burglars in while I'm working so I can be raped and murdered.
Lady, why don't you just go on home?
That's what I'll do. 3 hours overtime and you have to scare me to death. Mamma mia.
Sorry, Gabriella.
Your accent stinks, Victoria.
Next morning, snow begins to fall. Turn onto Mannheim Road, small dry spitballs, Arctic snow. No good for snowmen. Priory of Albertus Magnus looms coldly. Park the car. Fight my way to Priory entrance. Wind slices through my suit, leaves me gasping for air.
Father Carroll?
Miss Warshawski, do come in. You know Father Pelly and Father Lebonski, of course.
Yes, of course, Miss
Victoria, what are you doing here?
Hello, Rosa. I might ask you the same question.
Well, why, you didn't know your aunt was back with us?
No, I didn't.
Well, now that the original share certificates are back, there's no need to keep Mrs. Vignelli under suspicion.
I see.
I hope you will be civil to me in the presence of these holy fathers.
I don't know, Rosa. Depends on whether the Holy Spirit prompts you to provoke me. Does this mean you found out who was responsible for the forgeries, Father Carroll?
No, but Father Pelly persuaded me that Mrs. Vignelli couldn't have been involved, and we know how valuable her work is and how much it means to her, so it seemed unnecessarily cruel to make her sit at home now that we have the certificates back. Is that why you're here?
Well, I came for a different reason. A friend of mine was shot last week, murdered. I gather Father Pelly was a friend of hers. Perhaps the rest of you knew her, too. Agnes Pechorek?
No. But, of course, we've heard the news, and we've all been praying for her.
She was shot while tracking down some information for a friend. I think she might have been looking at something connected with a Catholic organization called Corpus Christi. Can you tell me anything about it?
I've heard of it.
Why do you want to know, Victoria? To fling more mud at the church?
More mud? Sorry, Rosa. Just because I'm not a Catholic doesn't mean I go around persecuting the church. Why don't you mind your own business? Oh, dear. You've spilled your tea.
Filia mi puttana.
Mrs. Vignelli, please.
I'm leaving.
Father Pelly, will you please get some towels and wipe up the tea?
Oh, yes.
Now, Rosa, please.
I spoke without thinking. You will forgive me, Victoria. I am old, and slow things affect me too much. Father Carroll, I will see you tomorrow.
Very well, Rosa.
I'll see you out, Mrs. Vignelli.
I hope you get on with my aunt better than I do.
She is extremely difficult to work with, and no one can do anything perfectly enough for her.
Why keep her, then?
She's one of those indispensable battle axes. She knows our books, she works hard, she's efficient, and we pay her very little. That's the truth, I'm afraid.
Oh, thank you, Father Pelly. Why do you want to know about Corpus Christi and Agnes Pechorek?
The Ajax Insurance Company is one of the country's largest. There seems to be a covert takeover bid for it. The night Agnes died, she was meeting someone with information about Ajax. Corpus Christi may also have a connection with Ajax. That's why I'm interested.
Well, as far as I know, its members take literally the injunction about doing all their good works in secret. They also take quasi-monastic vows of poverty and obedience.
How do they take vows of poverty?
Well, they give all their money to Corpus Christi, whether it's salary or inheritance or stock market earnings or whatever. Then the order gives it back to them according to their level of need and the kind of lifestyle that they need to maintain. What do you know about it, Father Pelly?
Not very much more, I'm afraid.
Nearly 4:30. Time to face Mrs. Pechorek, I think. Snow comes down furiously dark. Nearly impossible to see the road. Traffic moves about 5 miles an hour. Away from the expressway, the roads are unplowed. Come to a complete halt just after turning into Arbor. Damn! Do the last half mile on foot. Lucky I've got earmuffs and gloves.
Yes?
Barbara Pechorek?
Yes?
It's me, V.I. Wachowski, remember?
Oh, of course, you're Agnes's friend. Come in, you look frozen.
My car broke down about half a mile away.
Oh, come in and get warm.
Oh, God, you look so much like Agnes when I first met her.
Oh, I miss her.
So do I.
Is Mother expecting you?
Well,
look, we're going to eat any minute. Can you stay?
Sure, if your mother doesn't mind.
Look who's dropped in, Mother.
Good heavens. Victoria.
My car broke down. You were the nearest place. I hope you don't mind.
I won't even pretend I'm happy to see you.
Mom?
Barbara, would you do me a favor? While your mother and I are talking, would you find a filling station with a tow truck? My Omega's stuck about a half a mile down the road.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Thanks. Mrs. Pechorek, I am so sorry about Agnes.
Victoria, you corrupted and destroyed the life of my eldest child.
Catherine, that is pig swill, and you know it.
How dare you?
Agnes was a fine person. You should be proud of her success. Very few women achieve what she did. She was smart, and she had guts. You should be proud, feel pleased, grieve for her. Don't live with your anger.
It was enough for Agnes to know that I believed in something, for her to believe the opposite. Abortion. The war in Vietnam. Worst of all, the church. I thought I had seen my family name degraded in every possible way until she announced in public that she was a homosexual.
Oh, my God, she actually announced it right in the middle of LaSalle Street where every taxi driver in Chicago could hear?
Oh, very funny. Everyone knew about it. And she was proud of it.
Agnes loved Phyllis Lording, and Phyllis loved her, and they lived very happily together. If half of married couples brought each other that much satisfaction, the divorce rate wouldn't be what it is.
Why did you bring that woman to the funeral?
Phyllis loved Agnes. She needed to see the funeral. Catherine, please. Let's not talk about this anymore, okay? I want to ask you about something else.
What?
How did you come to buy 2,000 Ajax shares last month?
Ajax? What are you talking about?
The Ajax Insurance Company. You bought 2,000 shares on December 2nd. Worth almost $120,000. Why?
It's very possible my accountants thought it was a good investment. For transactions that small, they wouldn't bother to consult me.
Do you know anything about an organization called Corpus Christi?
Please stop cross-examining me, Victoria.
Are you a member, Catherine? What about the Wood Sage Corporation? What do you know?
Leave. Leave at once. Just get out of here.
Oh, hello?
Peg?
Roger. What time is it?
Time you got up. Can we have dinner tonight? There's something I want to discuss.
Sure. Why don't you come over here? I'll cook.
Great. Okay. I'll see you at 7.
You'll cook? Pot roast. Like beef bourguignon with onions and mushrooms and salt pork and burgundy. Hello?
V.I., I think I found your friend. A man was treated last Thursday at St. Vincent's for a broken jaw. Could be the guy you hit when he threw acid on you last week. A big surly guy with black curly hair. My police contact said it sounds like Walter Novick. He's a stevedore and usually uses a knife. Might explain why he didn't do so well with the acid.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work for Annunzio Pasquale.
Annunzio Pasquale? Mafia. Murder, torture, you name it.
Vic, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Pasquale? I mean, if you want to create money and push it into circulation, he's the first guy you'd hire.
Yep.
Why did I think of him? Murray, wait, what are Don Pasquale's fronts? You know, restaurants, laundries, any place I might be able to get in touch with him discreetly?
You're not so hard up you'd work for him, are you?
Oh, sure. You know me, Murray. Corruption's my middle name. Come on.
All right, one of his favorite meeting places is Torfino's restaurant in Elmwood Park.
Thank you, Murray.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing you a favor telling you this. If you're onto something that leads to Pasquale, just call the police. They've got resources to handle the mob, and even they're fighting a losing battle.
Thanks, Murray. Look, just send some irises to my funeral. I've never cared much for lilies. Pasquale can't be the anonymous caller. He has a thick Italian accent. Besides, Pasquale couldn't be the one who got the forged stocks into the Priory safe.
Maybe he goes to church at the Priory.
He had to buy off a lot of people to get to the safe. And Father Carroll or Father Pelli is a front man for the mafia? I don't think so.
It's always Rosa.
Aunt Rosa? A mafia mall? Well, I suppose you keep Annunzio in line.
No, pastors will euthanize Annunzio.
Unless you burn my niece with acid. Let's see. Okay.
Torfino's restaurant.
Good afternoon. May I speak with Don Pasquale?
Never heard of him.
All right.
Torfino's restaurant.
Don't hang up. If you should ever happen to meet Don Pasquale, I'd like you to give him a message.
Yes?
This is V.I. Wachowski. I'd like to talk to him. Would you like me to spell my name?
No.
Oh, Jesus, Gabriella, my stomach is jumping.
Diaphragm rest.
Okay, okay. Tidy the kitchen. Make the bed. Vacuum the floor. Find the red Venetian glasses Gabriella brought from Italy, carefully wrapped in her underwear. Set the table.
Hi there.
Hi, Roger.
Look, I know you don't go in for flowers, but...
They're beautiful. And champagne. Come on in the kitchen. I'm cooking.
Oh, cooking, eh? Oh, my God. Are you feeling ill, Vic? It's so tidy.
I wish I hadn't cleaned up. The place is so tidy now, I'll have to do it again tomorrow. Could you pass me a salad dressing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Shall I uncork the champagne?
Great. We can eat.
That was delicious. You know you'd make somebody a good wife.
Yeah. I tried that once. But that's another story. Now, you said there was something you wanted to discuss?
Ah, yeah. Well, I'm afraid that what I want to discuss has the makings of a row.
Oh, well, then I'm glad we've eaten first. I wouldn't want to waste my cooking. What is it?
This investigation.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I can't say that I'm crazy about it anyway, but... What's the way you go about it that upsets me? We haven't spent that much time together, so perhaps I don't have the right to expect anything from you. But you've been so damn cold and unfriendly the last few days.
I'm sorry. I seem to have stirred up some people who are a lot bigger than me. I'm afraid. I don't like being afraid. I don't like knowing who I can't trust.
What the hell have I done to deserve that?
Well, I don't know you that well either, Roger. I mean, okay, I don't blame you for being mad. Here I started with a problem that didn't seem very dangerous. My aunt suspected of some connection with fake securities, and the next thing I know, somebody tries to throw acid in my eyes.
What?
Someone threw acid at me. Someone who wants me away from the Priory.
Oh, and you think it might be me?
No, I don't think it's you. But then Agnes got shot. I'm one of my oldest friends, and I feel responsible because she was working on your problem, and I sent you to her.
She was working late, probably meeting somebody involved in the Ajax takeover.
Oh, Vic, why couldn't you say any of this to me?
I don't know. That's how I operate. That's why I'm a private eye, not a cop.
Yeah, well, you could at least have told me about the acid.
Remember the night I got that threatening phone call?
Yes, you called me.
Yeah, I did. All right, well, they tried making good on it last week. Now, I anticipated the attack and broke the guy's jaw. I took the acid on the back of my neck instead of my face. Then at Agnes's funeral, I thought I heard the anonymous caller's voice, but when I tried to find him, I couldn't. It's a really bland voice, almost without an accent, like someone who didn't grow up speaking English but is trying to disguise that.
Okay, but I still don't see why you couldn't talk to me about it.
I have to solve my own problems. I can't be this clinging female who runs to a man every time something doesn't work out right.
Well, don't you think you could find some middle way between those two extremes? Why not talk things over with somebody and still solve them yourself?
What, are you nominating yourself, Roger?
Yeah, why not?
I'll think about it.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's about as much as I can hope for.
Well, don't give up. Come on, let's talk about something else.
All right. What have you found out about Ajax?
Well, I've done a little digging, and I came across the name of a holding company, Wood Sage. Now, they're buying Ajax shares. Could you talk to one of your contacts, see if anybody's heard about them?
Legman for the Ivashevsky, you know?
Uh-huh.
Hey, what's the male equivalent of a gangster's
man? I don't know. I could get you fitted out with a machine gun, though, so you could do it in the best Chicago style.
Oh, yes, I'd rather like that. Something to tell him about in the club.
Mm.
Just don't freeze me out, V.I. Or at least tell me why you're doing it. Otherwise, I start thinking I'm being rejected.
You're an Englishman, Roger. You're very good at talking about your feelings.
Yeah, well, it must be your American influence.
Mm. See, it's the way your hair falls in your eyes. It makes you look as if you have something to hide. And then you have these beautiful brown eyes. And your mouth.
Hmm. It's been early to go to bed, huh? Well, perhaps not.
Hmm. Oh, what's the neck? Roger.
Hmm?
Can you smell anything?
Yeah, you come in.
No, I smell smoke.
Hmm? Perhaps we'll have the burner on in the kitchen.
I'll go look. No, it can't be this still, Roger. Smoke. Under the door. Look.
Oh, my God. Be careful.
The kitchen is inflamed.
Oh, front door. Come on.
No, it's on fire. Wait. Yeah, there's a fire that came out the window.
On the floor. Get down.
No, my mother's glasses.
What?
You bought them from Italy. I have to get them.
You're mad. Come on, V.I. Hurry up.
I must.
Come on, hurry up. Here. Put this blanket around you. Shut up. Come on, my window.
It hasn't been open for years. I'll have to paint it shut. Smash the glass. Here, use the blanket. Thank God. Oh, Roger.
What? What's the fun?
You with your pants on.
Oh, shut up and get out of them. Slow, slippery. I'll take my hand.
Careful. The glasses.
Give them to me.
No, keep your shivering. We're not going to go with these glasses.
It's like ice.
You know, it's strange. There were two fires. One at the front door and one in the kitchen. I might have started the kitchen fire by mistake. Not the one in the front door. Why, the bottom half of the building not on fire, where the top half is.
Oh, thank God. Well, we're going to have to jump this last bit. You all right?
Yeah, fine. Ready? For once, I'm grateful to our building supervisor for not shoveling better. Snow makes a terrific cush. Oh, no.
What? What's wrong?
The glasses.
You've got them.
No, there are five more. Locked in the bedroom heat and the flames. Oh, God, Gabrielle, I'm so sorry. I have to find you.
Vic, don't be so stupid. The place is on fire.
Let me go, Roger. I don't believe it.
Oh, what now?
Lieutenant Bobby Mallory. Oh, God, that's all I need.
If you knew what you looked like, Wysotsky, half naked and your boyfriend, you know better. I never thought I'd see the day I'd be glad Tony was dead. Oh. I'm thankful he can't see you now.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate your concern.
Yeah, I want the full story of what happened to you tonight.
We were asleep. Smoke woke me up. We realized the kitchen was on fire. We tried the front door and found it was on fire, too. We got out by the fire escape.
Yeah, can you confirm this?
I can.
What were the people doing in the other apartment?
Well, they were sound asleep, as far as I know.
Well, Roger, honey, why don't you go? I know it's time you have to get to work.
Don't be an ass, V.I. It's only 7 o'clock in the morning. Come on, we'll see this out together.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Ferrant. Since you were in the apartment at the time of the fire, we would have to ask you to stay anyway. How do you two know each other?
I work for Ajax Insurance. We met on my last trip to Chicago.
Bobby, if you're going to imply in any way that either Mr. Ferrant or I knew anything about the fire, we're going to insist on charges being brought before we answer any questions, and my attorney will have to be present.
And if you're charging me with breaking any laws, I better call the British Consul.
Get off your high horses. I just want to know what you were doing tonight.
No, you don't, Bobby. It'll make you blush.
Look, someone tried to kill you, Vicky. They broke the lock on the front door to get into the building. They poured kerosene on your apartment door and set fire to it. You're lucky to be alive. Now, if there's someone with a grudge against you, maybe Mr. Ferrant here was assigned to make sure you stayed in the apartment.
Oh, come on, that's ridiculous. You could have been burned to death.
Are you charging me?
No.
Does the fire have any signature you recognize, Bobby?
It could be the work of any professional. Quick, clean, minimum fuel, no prints.
Listen, you might be better occupied pursuing other investigations. Agnes Pachorek's murder while looking at this Ajax business, for example. Thank God Miss Vashovsky's picked up the case.
Roger! Oh, he's such a goon.
If you have any evidence to show Miss Pachorek was killed because she was looking into Ajax, I'll follow it up.
She told me she was staying late to talk to someone about the share sales.
Oh. You're the college-educated one, Vicky. Huh? You explained to him about logic and moving from one argument to another. She was working late on Ajax and she got shot. Where's the connection, huh? Yeah, I know you, Vicky. You're just arrogant enough to go stirring up the pot without telling me. What have you found?
I figure I don't owe you one thing, Bobby. Not one name, not one idea.
If you obstruct the police in the performance of their duty, young lady, you can be arrested.
Okay, I know who the Chicago brokers were for the big blocks of Ajax sales the last 6 or 7 weeks. You can get the list from Mr. Ferrant here.
You know the firm of Tilford and Sutton?
Stockbrokers, sure.
You ever been to their offices?
Bobby, I don't have anything to invest.
You wouldn't have been there 2 nights ago, would you, investigating their Ajax sales?
At night? Stockbrokers do business during the day, don't they? I mean, even I know that.
Oh, yeah. Very funny. Someone broke into their offices. It was you, wasn't it?
Why, Bobby? You keep telling me there's nothing to investigate, so why should I break in to investigate something that does not exist?
Because you are pig-headed and arrogant.
Oh, Jesus.
I always told Tony and Gabriella they should have more children. They spoiled you rotten.
Well, I have had a really rough night.
She thinks she's the Lone Ranger. She stirred up someone big enough to hire a professional torch, and now she's going to be a heroine and not say anything about it. You know, Vicky, Tony Warshawski was one of my best friends. Anything happens to you, his ghost will haunt me the rest of my life. No one can talk to you since Gabriella died. You can go.
Lieutenant, can you arrange for us to be driven back to Vic's apartment so we can get some clothes?
The building may not be safe. Any accidents, you on your own.
Oh, thanks. You're a big help.
Leave it, leave it. Come on, Vic.
Ice mountains formed by frozen jets of water. Walking through a nightmare. Front door broken open by the firefighters hang crazily on its hinges. Ice and grime. Bits of walls falling in.
Hey, you're shivering, huh?
I'm okay.
Careful.
Burnt furniture. Soaking ashes. Gabriella's piano.
Oh, bastard.
Some of these clothes stink of smoke, but I think you're okay.
There's a suitcase here.
Oh, cover. Hey.
What?
Look. Thank God, the other glasses.
Oh.
Look, one's broken, but they're fine. There are no cracks or bubbles.
Well, look, we can glue the broken bit. It's just one big piece.
Look, Gabrielle's diamond drop earrings and her necklace. They're still okay.
What's this?
What?
Vic, you've got a gun.
Yes, you have. Smith & Wesson. Now you know why. Oh, come on, Roger, let's go. I can't think of anything else I want to keep. Unlike Lord Peter Wimsey, I collect no first editions.
I'll take the suitcase.
You're going to have to watch the chivalry, Roger.
Would you believe it? The telephone still works? Yes?
Miss Warshawski? You are lucky, Miss Warshawski. But no one is lucky forever.
In episode 4 of Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski, with Martin Shaw as Roger Ferrant, Helen Horton as Mrs. Pechorek, Eileen Way as Rosa, and John Bennett as O'Phalen. Don Fellows was Father Carroll, Lorelei King, Barbara Pechorek, William Hootkins, Bobby Mallory, Carrie Shale, Mary Ryerson, Colin Stinton, Father Pelly, Peter Penry Jones, Father Yablonsky, and Avril Clark was Gabriella. Killing Orders was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.
Chicago Herald Star personal ad. Matt calls Steph. The oak has sprouted Uncle Stefan. Oh, that's what I've been waiting for. God, I wonder how long the ad's been running.
Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky.
Jam the Smith & Wesson into the front of my jeans. Pullovers make a shoulder holster impractical.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
Look in the rearview mirror. No waiting cars, no one watching me. Streets still piled with snow, Lakeshore Drive's clear.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
On Dempster, heavy rush hour traffic's moving well. Spin off onto Crawford Avenue, make it to Uncle Stephen's a few minutes before 7.
Episode 5, Dinner Date.
30 minutes from Mannheim to the post office.
Oh, excuse me. Are you looking for Mr. Herschel?
Yes, he doesn't seem to be in.
Oh, I'm Ruth Silverstein. I live across the hall. When I take the baby for a walk, he usually comes out to give us cookies, but I didn't see him today.
Did you hear him go out?
No. He walks with a cane, you know, and it usually makes a noise on the stairs.
I see. Uncle Stefan? It's me, V.I.
Listen, the TV is on. Or the radio. Maybe he can't hear you.
No, he's probably just fine. Don't worry.
Okay, just thought I'd mention it.
I'll call him later, thanks.
Welcome.
Picklocks. Deadbolt, a regular Yale. Good. Easy. Uncle Stefan? Uncle Stefan, it's me, Lottie's friend, Victoria. Oh, my God. This is Silverstein!
Yes?
Get an ambulance as fast as you can.
Well, what's happened? How did you get here?
Mr. Herschel is hurt. Quickly.
He's not.
He's alive. Just, we've lost a lot of blood. Hurry, please, hurry.
Right away.
Lottie?
V.I., I heard about the fire in your apartment. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I have some bad news. It's Uncle Stefan.
What's happened to Stefan?
Well, he's alive, Lottie.
What have you been up to, V.I.?
He's been stabbed. I'm at his apartment now. He's lost a lot of blood, but they missed the heart.
When?
I just found him. Lottie, I'm so sorry.
This is all your fault, V.I.
I know. I'm really sorry.
If he dies.
I have to go now. Please sit here.
V.I., wait!
Right, put your hands up. Stand against the wall.
What are you doing? Well, you got, I'm the person who called you.
Yeah, we'll ask the questions, honey. Well, well. Got a license for this gun, girlie?
Yeah.
Let's see it.
Mind if I take my hands off the wall?
Don't be a wise ass.
My PI license. My license for the gun.
Private eye, huh? What are you doing in Skokie?
Bagels in Chicago aren't as good as the ones we make here.
We picked up Joan Rivers, Stu. Listen, Joan, this ain't Chicago. We want to put you away we can. Just tell us what you were doing here.
Being a good citizen, waiting for you guys. Clearly a mistake. Ah! You guys want to charge me? If so, I'm going to call my lawyer.
You better call your lawyer, girlie. We'll keep the gun. Not really a lady's weapon, is it, Stu?
Okay, Warshawski. Look, I've had it up to here with your smart ass dancing around, telling the truth when you feel like it. You told the newspapers someone threw acid at you, not the police. Someone set your apartment on fire, and you have no idea who it might be. Look, I want the truth now, huh? You cover up anything, I'll have you in jail, even if I have to run you in for dope possession.
I don't do dope, Bobby. If they find any of my place, it's planted. Anyway, I don't have a place, remember? It burned out.
Look, you're close to a murder charge. You can't talk your way out of that.
Those suburban hicks are going to charge me with murder?
Yeah, they were. They agreed to wait, though, until I talk to you.
I see.
No lies now, huh?
You got it.
All right. The facts. What were you doing at Stephen Herschel's place tonight?
Visiting. Is he all right?
Look, I'm asking the questions. What were you doing there?
He's an uncle of a friend of mine. You know Lottie, Dr. Herschel? He's an interesting old man who gets lonely. He wanted me to have tea with him.
Tea. So you let yourself in, huh?
The door was open when I got there.
The girl across the hall says the door was shut.
Well, no, not standing open, just not locked.
Uh-huh. You wouldn't have used these pick locks.
Oh,
huh?
No, those are souvenirs from one of my clients.
Oh, yeah, and you carry them around just for sentiment. Come on, Wachowski! Why were you visiting Stephen Herschel?
He invited me, Bobby.
Oh, yeah, your apartment burned down last night, so today you're feeling chipper and having tea in Skokie. Damn it, Vicky! Level with me, huh? I'm afraid I have no choice but to charge you with concealing evidence of a crime. You'll be printed, photographed, and taken to the holding cells in 26 in California.
May I call my lawyer?
Be my guest, Wachowski.
Freeman Carter comes to get me out at 9. He's a partner at Crawford Mead, my ex-husband's high-prestige firm. It's a constant thorn to Dick, my ex-husband. Hi, Freeman.
Hi, Vic.
Hey, the other pimps got their hookers out an hour ago. I guess I'm just not very valuable merchandise.
If you had a mirror, you'd see why your street value was plummeted. You have a hearing in the women's court at 11. Just a formality.
I solemnly swear to come back for the trial. What a good citizen I am.
Yeah, well, you better have a call. Here, take mine.
Thanks.
So, you want to talk?
How's Stephen Herschel?
He's in intensive care, but he's stable. So what's it all about, Vic?
Well, Stephen had a forgery rap back in the 50s. Uh-huh. I'm afraid somebody knifed him because he was playing boy detective on some stock forgeries I was investigating. I can't tell Bobby till I talk to the old man.
Yeah, well, Mallory's a good cop. He's not going to railroad an 80-year-old man.
He might not, but the FBI would in 30 seconds. And once the feds move in, there's shit Bobby or I or even you can do.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Anyway, how do I look?
Better.
Thanks, Freeman.
Devoted to you as I am, I think you're badly in need of a bath.
That's the soap, Roger.
Yeah.
Thanks. This tub is impossible. I can't even stretch my legs out.
Please woke me at 1 o'clock this morning.
I'm sorry.
They told me you were spending the night in jail.
What? Yeah, I did.
I had no idea where you were, what you were doing, what danger you might be in.
I had a wonderful 30s bath in my apartment, long enough to lie down in. Gee, I wonder if I'll ever find another.
God damn it, Vic. I woke up at 1 this morning. You're not here. No note. Why did you do this?
I had an eventful evening, Roger. I saved an old man's life. Then I spent 5 hours in a Skokie jail and 4 in a Chicago one. I had one phone call, and I needed it for my lawyer, okay?
Why the hell didn't you leave me a note?
Well, gee, Roger, if I'd known what I was going to find, I would have written you a novel. Would you pass the goddamn towel?
I mean, it's not the point. We talked about this last night, right? 2 nights ago, or whenever the hell your apartment burned down.
I am a detective, right? I am paid to detect things. If I told everyone and his dog Rover what I was up to, my clients would lose all confidence in me.
You can't just disappear like that.
You don't own me, Ferrand. If my staying here makes you think you do, I'll leave.
Yeah, well, maybe you should leave, Vic. I don't have the stamina for any more nights like this. Let me tell you something, Wonder Woman. You can trust me. I can protect you.
No one protects me, Roger. I don't live in that kind of universe. If you want to talk to me about your work, I'll listen. And I'll try and make suggestions if you want them. But I won't try to protect you. Give me the same respect. Just because the people I deal with play with fire instead of money doesn't mean I need or want protection. Would you drive my back, please?
You know, the remoter you get, the more I need something to grab hold of.
I know. I'm sorry, but I can't help the way I am. I think it would be easier on both of us if I found another place to stay. But I will try and keep in better touch.
Okay. I get it. Hello? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's for you, Vic.
Well, thanks.
Oh, look, I'm going. I'll see you later.
Hello?
It's Phil Pachorek. Listen, do you still want to find that man with the non-accent, the one you heard at Agnes's funeral?
You bet.
Well, there's an archdiocesan dinner tonight at the Hanover Hotel. Mother shells out a million or so to the church every year, so we're invited. You want to be my date?
An archdiocesan dinner? Thrilled.
Meet me at the hotel. 7:30?
I have to buy a dress in nylons. All right, I'll meet you there.
I can't wait. Bye.
Dr. Herschel surgery.
Hello. May I speak to Dr. Herschel? It's V.I. Wachowski.
I'll just see if she's free. I'm afraid she's too busy to talk to you right now.
Thank you. Look through the morning classifieds for furnished apartments. Find a place on Racine and Montrose that offers 2-month leases. Try Lottie. Busy. Pack my suitcase, mixing laundered clothes with smoke-stained ones. Leave a note for Roger. Try Lottie again. Still busy.
Hello, Miss Wachowski.
I want to see Dr. Herschel.
I just tell her you're here. Miss Wachowski to see you, Dr. Herschel.
I'm afraid I'm busy, Mrs. Coltrane.
I'm afraid
you tell her I will wait all day if necessary and then follow her home.
She says she's going to wait
okay,
all...
Okay, I heard that. Come on in, V.I.
Now, what the hell?
You're lucky to catch me between patients, V.I. You'll have to be quick.
Why the hell are you avoiding me? Your uncle owes his life to me.
He almost owes his death to you.
I know. I never should have involved him in such a crazy, dangerous business.
You're lucky he's still alive.
How is he? At least tell me.
He wants to talk to you.
That's good.
He doesn't need any more excitement, but the police want to question him, and he's refusing to talk until he's seen you.
Lottie, he's an old man, but he's a sane man. He can make his own choices.
I suppose you're right. I'm sorry.
So am I. But there's no point in us arguing. 5:00. Quiet time in the hospital. Surgery and therapies are over for the day. Evening visitors haven't started to arrive yet. Follow red arrows painted on deserted hallways. Up 2 flights of stairs. Intensive care unit.
Mr. Herschel has lost a lot of blood. He's been through a very severe trauma. Please, don't upset him.
I understand, Doctor.
In here.
Hi, Mr. Herschel.
Oh, my dear Victoria. Sit down. Mind the stupid machines. And call me Uncle Stefan.
Okay. Uncle Stefan. God, I'm so sorry I let you get involved with this.
Oh, I told you that I am not afraid of death. You gave me a beautiful adventure which I do not at all regret. Do not be sad or angry, but be careful. That is why I had to see you. The man who attacked me is very dangerous.
What happened?
Well, I forged a stock certificate. A very fine one, if I may say so. Well, then I call a man I know. On Wednesday afternoon, 1 week later, I get a call from someone who's interested. A buyer, so. A man shows up. I know at once he is not a boss. The man is that of an underling. Maybe you call him a leg man.
What did he look like?
A thug. I tell him, I know about the fiery forgeries, and I want a piece of that particular business. He says, you know too much for your own good, old man, and then pulls out the knife. I have acid from my etching near me, so this I throw at him. So when he stabs me, his hand is not quite true.
You can join my detective agency, Uncle Stefan, any time. I have never wanted a partner before, but I think you would really bring class to the operation.
It is a deal, dear Victoria.
Okay, listen. And when the police talk to you, give them a description of the man, but nothing else.
Yeah.
A random burglar after your silver, you can say.
Yes.
And put in a good word for me with Lottie. She's ready to kill me.
When she was six.
Yes, of course. Goodbye, Uncle Stefan. Take care.
No, you take care.
A cold shower.
Crimson outfit. My only decent suit that doesn't smell of smoke. Stockings and boots. A tie and red leather pumps under my arm. Oh, damn, I'm 20 minutes late. I'm sorry, Phil.
Oh, that's okay. Here, have some wine.
Thanks. What exactly is all this in aid of?
Archbishop O'Phalon is visiting from the Vatican. He's over there talking to Mother. 100 people have paid $500 each for the privilege of seeing him. You want to see the invitation?
Funds raised by the reception will support the Vatican, whose assets have been depleted by the recent recessionary spiral and the fall of the lira, I see. Begging, huh?
Not exactly.
Uh-huh. Oh, look, your mother's waving to us.
So she is.
She's seen me. How have you been, Phil?
Oh, ridiculously busy. I sometimes think the world could blow up, and the only way I would know would be by the casualties coming in.
But you like what you do. She's nudging the Archbishop.
I love it, especially the research end.
Now, he's looking this way. What exactly are you working on?
Mapping neuron activity. You know...
He's staring at me.
How you can get a verbal response from people whose brains are being operated on?
He's frowning.
I didn't know you were interested in neurological research, Vic.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Farber.
I feel especially blessed today, ladies and gentlemen. Not only do I lead the world's largest archdiocese, but I am also privileged to head this most generous and loving community. I am gratified at the response that Chicago has made to the urgent needs of the Vatican and delighted that our honored guest, the most reverend Xavier O'Phalon, Archbishop of Ciudad Isabella and the head of the Vatican Finance Committee, can be here in person to thank you himself. My gratitude to you all.
My friends, I have very little to add to Cardinal Farber's speech.
Where is he from?
Ireland originally, I think, but brought up in Italy.
The kingdom
he
of
reminds
heaven
me of someone. He usually
earth
speaks perfect English.
Things.
Mother's company must
have
knocked him off balance.
The Temple Church can only be carried out with material goods.
Oh.
That is why your help is so necessary. I am grateful to you all. Thank you.
Now what happens?
That's it. Now we circulate.
Oh, no.
What is it?
What the hell are you doing here, Victoria?
She's my date, Mother.
I really don't think you should swear, Mrs. Pichard.
Keep her away from Cardinal Farber. This woman can't resist insulting good Catholics.
Oh, I'm sure the Cardinal has enough trouble with you, Catherine.
Oh, really? Get her out of here, Phil.
I'm sorry, V.I.
That's okay. You're not responsible for your mother. Listen, could you get me a brandy while I circulate a little?
Sure.
Thanks. Father Pelly, how nice to see you.
Miss Swarshowski. Well, I hardly thought of you as a supporter of the diocese.
And what about you? I hardly thought the priory could afford this sort of event.
We can't. Xavier O'Phalon has invited me. I was his secretary before he was sent to the Vatican 10 years ago.
And you keep in touch? Oh, how nice. Will he visit the priory while he's in town?
He's staying with us at the priory.
Now, how nice.
Yes. Isn't it?
Vicky, Archbishop O'Phalon, this is Miss Borshowski. Perhaps you remember her from my sister's funeral?
Oh, yes, of course.
Archbishop, I wonder, have you been on television or radio recently?
NBC was good enough to do a small interview. People think of the Vatican as a very wealthy organization, so it is hard for us to bring a story of poverty to the people. They were kind enough to help.
Well, the Vatican finances have been much in the papers here. Now, I remember a story a couple years ago. The Banco Ambrosiano, wasn't it? When a $1 billion disappeared, I believe.
Excuse me, Miss Dworshowski. Come, Pat.
Certainly, Archbishop.
They're in a hurry.
What's going on?
I'm not sure.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Pacioretty.
V.I., I don't see why
you're... will be joining in prayer for you.
I hope your visit has been successful.
The most successful of my current tour, I assure you.
That's it.
What?
That's the same voice as my anonymous caller. That's the voice that threatened me.
That's the Archbishop.
Didn't you hear the way his accent changed? Some of the time he has this Italian accent, and sometimes there's nothing at all. The voice of a man whose English has been carefully taught to avoid an accent of any sort. That's the man who tried to blind me.
Come on, V.I., aren't you going a little too far?
We'll see. Archbishop?
Yes?
Drop the Italian accent. I know who you are.
What?
What the hell is your connection with the mafia?
Oh, you're confusing me with someone else, young woman.
Just remember, Archbishop, no one is lucky forever. Ride the elevator up to the third level of the garage. Quiet. Empty. Brenda unlocked the car door.
You're covered, Wachowski. Don't try to fight.
Okay, I'm covered.
Don Pasquale wants to talk to you.
Oh, my car or yours?
Mine. You won't object to a blindfold?
Have a choice?
No.
Silk?
Oh, yeah, nothing but the best. Get in! Miss Wachowski. You wanted to speak to me, huh?
Yeah, I feel a little like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, finally getting to meet the talking head.
You are a very courageous young lady, Miss Wachowski.
Well, you've worn me out, Don Pasquale. Your people burned out my apartment, and Walter Novick tried to blind me with acid and probably stabbed poor Mr. Herschel.
Someone told me you are half Italian.
That's right. I have an aunt, an old woman, Rosa Vignelli. 2 weeks ago, she phoned me in deep distress. The safe at the Priory of Albertus Magnus, for which he was responsible, was found to contain forged certificates. Now, my aunt has very little family left, only her son and myself, so she turned to me for help, naturally.
Naturally. An Italian family.
Yeah, I made a promise to my mother as she was dying that I would do anything for the family. Well, soon after Rosa called, someone threatened me with acid and told me to stay away from the Priory. Now, when someone attacks me, my honor is involved, too.
Sure, sure. And where do I come in,
huh? I want to know whether Walter Novick is under your protection, Don Pasquale, the protection of the mafia. If not, I can then deal with him with a clear conscience.
You are very brave. But you are alone. With what do you propose to bargain?
Well, I'm assuming you have some connection with the forged certificates. If the FBI knew in what direction to look, they might investigate the forgeries a little more closely.
If you never left this house, the FBI would never know.
You're right. Well, I have nothing to bargain with, then, Don Pasquale. I can only appeal to your sense of honor, your sense of family, to understand why I've done what I've done.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Wachowski, you have talked to me. I will think about it. You will hear from me in a few days.
Wine glasses, dry cleaners, red leather shoes, stuffed cabbage, chicken soup. Gabriella? Gabriella! Oh, Mama. Mama, I dreamed about you again.
Victoria.
You were so full of life. You knew I was in danger. You wanted to wrap me in a white sheet to save me.
I think it's a white towel you need, a shower.
Gabriella, I'm so scared.
Have a shower and get something to eat. You'll feel better.
Right, okay. One, call my lawyer. Tell him I've seen Uncle Stefan and I'll make a statement to the police if they drop charges against him. Two, find out if Walter Novick stabbed Uncle Stefan. Three, if yes, bag him. Uh-huh. Easier said than done. Hello, Murray?
Hey, I? Hey, you ain't dead yet.
Yeah, not for want of trying. Listen, I need some photographs.
Oh, yeah?
I want some photographs of Walter Novick. I want to know what he looks like if he comes after me again.
Well, I think there are some courtroom shots taken when he was arrested for attempted manslaughter and armed robbery. He's never been convicted.
Pasquale's friends seldom are.
Okay, I'll trade you the photographs for a story about Stefan Herschel and your arrest.
Fine, I'll pick up the photos in half an hour. So, Archbishop O'Fallon is staying at the Priory. How do I get into the Priory without anyone noticing? Of course. Hoffmanstall's, corner of Jackson and Wells. 10 yards of soft white wool. A black belt from a man's shop. Rosary beads. A little tailoring store on Montrose.
A lady dressed like a monk? Of course, young lady, no question about it. If you have a sketch, the fabric and measurements, there's no problem.
Can I have it tonight? It's a last-minute party, you see. A fancy dress.
You want to be a monk, you can be a monk. $40 in advance.
Collect the pictures of Novik from Murray. Next, Uncle Stefan. Out of intensive care.
It's just like Hill Street Blues. Do I recognize the mugshot?
Well, do you?
Yes. The face is not easy to forget. No doubt, no question. That is the man with the knife.
Thank you, Uncle Stefan. Mwah! You take care. Mm. Your steak's getting cold, Roger. Mm. What's on your mind?
Well, late yesterday, an outfit called the Woodsage Corporation filed 5% ownership of Ajax shares with the Securities Exchange Commission. Something's up.
And?
Well, I'm baffled. Totally and utterly baffled. If you own 5% or more of a company's stock, you have to file with the Securities Exchange Commission and tell them what you mean to do with your holdings.
Yes.
What's more, Woodsage isn't an actual corporation. It's just a group of people who buy and sell stocks for their mutual benefit. Now, if they pool their investments, they can do better than they would alone. That's the idea behind it. They claim they bought the Ajax shares because they think the company is a good buy.
Who owns Woodsage?
You see, there's a board of directors made up of various brokers, the largest being a company called Tilford & Sutton.
Tilford & Sutton do business for Corpus Christi.
What? Well, I've never heard of Corpus Christi.
Well, that's not surprising. It's a group that tries to stay secret. They bought $7 million of stock last fall. Now, they must have given them to Woodsage. Catherine Pachorik is a member.
Now, I need to know who's behind Woodsage. The Corpus Christi, Mrs. Pachorik connection gives you an inside edge on the investigation. V.I., I think I'd like to hire you.
I thought you disapproved of the work I do, Roger.
Yes, I know what I said. And that was out of concern for you.
Look, I don't have the resources for this sort of thing. I'm not the FBI.
Look, can't you talk to Mrs. Pachorik? Find out if Corpus Christi is involved in this Woodsage thing at all?
Roger, the lady won't talk to me. She hates me.
Whatever your normal fee is, we'll double it.
You know, I have never felt so discouraged or so incapable in all my years as an investigator. I've lost my apartment. Lottie, my best friend, won't speak to me because it's my fault her uncle is lying in hospital. I don't think I'd be any good to you.
Yeah, I know how you feel. My company's in trouble and I can't do anything about it.
What a pair of failures we are.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. Okay, all right, listen. You set up a meeting with the FBI and the SEC because they won't talk to me otherwise, and I'll try and think of a way to get at Catherine Pachorik.
Wonderful. Will you come home with me tonight?
If you finish your dinner.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah.
Waiter!
Mrs. Pachorik?
Victoria, I don't want to talk to you.
Don't hang up. Woodsage and Corpus Christi.
What do you want?
It's like this, Mrs. Pachorik. The SEC knows that Woodsage has bought a 5% interest in Ajax. What they don't know is that most of the money was put up by Corpus Christi and that most of Corpus Christi's money comes from you. The SEC is not going to be happy that that wasn't mentioned in the filing.
I don't know anything about this.
Agnes found out about it. The police may want to question you. They may want to know to what lengths you'd go to keep Agnes from publishing Corpus Christi's attempted takeover of Ajax.
Are you suggesting I am responsible for the death of my own daughter?
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting anything. I'll just leave that to the police.
You'd better come over.
Yeah, I guess I had.
Tomorrow night, about 8?
Tomorrow night.
In episode 5 of Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky, Kathleen Turner plays V.I. Warshawski, with Martin Shaw as Roger Ferrant, Morris Denham as Uncle Stefan, Miriam Carlin as Lottie Herschel, and John Bennett as O'Phalen. Avril Clark was Gabriella, Helen Horton, Mrs. Pachorik, Lorelei King, Ruth, William Hootkins, Bobby Mallory, Carrie Shale, Murray Ryerson, Stuart Milligan, Phil, Colin Stinton, Father Pelly, Teresa Stretfield, Phyllis Lording, and Colin McFarlane was Don Pasquale. Killing Orders was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.
Bright winter sun reflected against the snow breaks into diamonds of glinting, blinding color.
Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky.
Pull the white woolen monk's robe over my jeans and shirt. Black leather belt around the middle. Rosary on the right side of the belt.
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
Pull the hood up so my face can't be seen. Brilliant disguise. My own mother wouldn't know me. Sorry, Gabriela.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
The Priory. Park behind the main building, 4:30, time for evening prayers and mass. Wait till 4:35.
Episode 6, No One is Lucky Forever.
Reach the wide landing where the marble staircase turns into the Priory's private quarters. I feel like I'm committing a sacrilege. Quiet corridor with doors opening onto it rather like a hotel. Next to each door, a placard with a monk's name printed in a neat scroll. Oh, a room with no name on it. Bare bed and crucifix. Small dresser. Table with one drawer. Panamanian passport. Airline ticket. 10 p.m. Alitalia flight Wednesday. This must be O'Phalon's room. Stack of beautiful linen. Hand-tailored shirts. A fine collection of silk socks. Well, the Vatican's poverty certainly doesn't force her employees to live in squalor. Briefcase. Papers with the Vatican seal. Technical documents. Oh, Ajax 1983 annual report. A letter in Italian from Raul Diaz Figueiredo of the Italo-Panama Import-Export Company. Oh, Mama, I need your Italian. See, Figueiredo wishes to discuss Ajax. The easiest object...
Target.
Target for a plan of acquisition. The Banco Ambrosiano... Assets reside happily...
Safely.
All right, safely. In Panamanian and Bahamian banks. Yet for these assets to be...
Productive.
They must be usable in public works. Oh, thank you, Gabriella. That's it. That's what lies behind the Ajax takeover. Money stolen from the Vatican Bank is being laundered by being used to buy an insurance company, and it's all legal. Keep the letter. Now then, Father Pelly's room next. Family photographs, bookcase full of books, a desk. List of Chicago area members of Corpus Christi. Addresses, phone numbers. Pachorik, Catherine, Cecilia, Rosa Vignelli. Oh, shit. Under the bed. Quickly.
Just a minute.
What is it?
Someone's been in my room and opened my attaché case.
Oh, damn.
Is anything missing?
Well, not as far as I can tell.
Who could it be? Warshawski?
If it was Warshawski, it won't matter. He isn't going to be a problem after tonight. Come and look.
Yes, yes, by all means.
What does he mean, I'm not going to be a problem after tonight?
Move.
Pull the hood up over my face again. Back along the corridor to the wide landing with the marble staircase. No one in sight. Now hurry. Remove the monk's robe. Hide it in the back of the car. Copy Figueiredo's letter to O'Phalon. Buy a cheap envelope and stamp and mail the original to myself for safekeeping. 7:45. Buy a large Hershey bar. Next up, this is Catherine Pechorek. Don't trust anybody. Avoid the front door. Park at the edge of Lake Forest. Acres of wild land leading down to Lake Michigan. Nobody could patrol this much space. Huh. But the dogs are tied up. French windows lead to the conservatory. Fingers thick with cold. Unbuttoned jacket. Take it off, hold it over the glass next to the window latch. Pull Smith and Wesson from a toaster. Tap the jacket lightly and firmly with the butt. Feel the glass give underneath. No alarms. Gently knock the glass away from the frame. Stick an arm through the opening and unlock the window. Hold the gun firmly. Long marble passages. The family room out there, she is. Embroidering.
Good evening, Catherine.
What?
I let myself in. Through the conservatory at the back.
What are you doing here?
You invited me, remember? It's 8 o'clock, wasn't it? I'm sorry I'm late.
Who?
How did I get past whoever you have waiting for me out front?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah? Why don't you come and find out?
You, get your hands off of me!
This gun is loaded, Catherine. The safety catch is off, and I know how to use it. Now, come on!
You bitch! Leave! Leave!
Drop your weapons. Come out in the light. Hit him.
Freeze on your history.
I don't think so, Walton Novick. Drop it. You know, we can't keep meeting like this.
I'm out of here, bitch.
Oh, no, I don't think so. You're right, need some ass. Catherine, call an ambulance for your friend. Go on.
I'm going. I'm going.
I think your working days are over, Walter. You're going to spend a long, long time in prison.
Oh, yeah? They haven't made a charge stick yet.
Stephen Herschel's going to be your downfall. He's seen your photo. He can identify you.
Yeah, well, my friends will prove him wrong.
Don Pasquale, you mean?
I'm not saying a word.
Oh, good. I'll just drag you to the house, huh?
Dad, don't! Damn it, stop! It wasn't Pasquale.
Who, Novick?
I don't know his name. I met him once. The day I went to see Mr. Herschel. A man came with me to the apartment. Middle-aged, green eyes, gray hair. A voice you'd recognize in hell, you know, fat, horrible.
You're a lucky man, Walter. If you swear in court the man who ordered you out here tonight was behind the stabbing of Stephen Herschel, I'll see you get a good plea bargain. We'll forget the acid. We'll even forget the fire in my apartment. Now, how about it?
I'm not saying anything.
If I shoot your left kneecap, you'll never be able to prove it didn't happen when you attacked me at the door.
Jeez, you wouldn't.
Yeah? I'm pulling back the safety catch.
No. No, don't. I'll do whatever you say. But you get me a doctor, okay?
Oh, toughest man in the mafia. All right, then. When did you meet Catherine Pechorek?
I never seen her before today. The man with the voice, he called yesterday. He told me to get out here at 7 tonight and to shoot you.
Was this the same man who hired you to throw acid at me?
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me, I am cold.
Okay, now let's get our story straight. You got lost, you came to the door looking for help.
Yeah.
This is Pechorek, terrified, screamed. That brought me to the door with my gun. You took fright, you fired at me, I shot you, okay?
Yeah, okay.
You remember it.
Would you like a drink?
Brandy, please, Dr. Pechorek.
Catherine's gone to bed. You are?
Thanks. Dr. Pechorek, do you know anything about this Corpus Christi outfit she belongs to?
I don't know much about it. When I met Catherine in Panama, she was doing a lot of work in the poor community. Xavier Fallon was a priest in one of those shanty towns. He interested her in Corpus Christi.
And then?
Well, then we came back to Chicago. When her father died, she turned most of the family fortune over to Corpus Christi. Why do you want to know all this?
I have evidence that Corpus Christi's money is being used in an attempt to take over Ajax Insurance.
What's the problem? Buying companies is perfectly legal.
Look, over $1 billion has disappeared from the Banco Ambrosiano, probably into unknown Panamanian companies. I think O'Fallon knows about that money. If he can get some large financial institution like an insurance company under his control, he can launder the money and use it however he wants. Corpus Christi in Chicago have a huge endowment thanks to Mrs. Pechorek. So they put together a dummy corporation, called it Woodsage, and are using it to acquire the Ajax stock.
But that's not criminal in itself.
Agnes was looking into the takeover for one of the Ajax officers. She found out about the Corpus Christi involvement. She was killed the night she was to meet with someone to discuss it.
Oh,
my God.
Well, I'm sorry.
You mean that indirectly, Catherine, for some responsibility for our daughter's death?
I'm afraid it looks that way.
Victoria, could you come back to the house tomorrow? I'm going to invite O'Fail on. I want to settle this matter.
I don't...
Please.
I guess so.
Thanks very much.
Don't thank me, Dr. Pachorik. This story isn't going to have a happy ending.
I know that.
Hi, Uncle Stefan.
Oh, Victoria. The doctors say I can go home tomorrow. Isn't that good?
Oh, that's great. How you feeling?
Oh, fine. Cheaper. Yes, cheaper. All I need now is chocolate cake.
Uncle Stefan, I have another favor to ask of you. Please say no if you don't want to do it.
What is it?
Instead of going to Lottie's, would you go home with a friend of mine?
Why?
I need to pretend you're dead for 24 hours, and then you can arise from the grave with a flourish.
Lottie will be furious.
There's no doubt. Well, console yourself with the thought that it's me she wants to murder, not you.
Well, Lottie is a headstrong girl. Do not worry about her.
What do you say, then?
Well, I am ready for anything.
Oh, good. Now, my friend's name is Murray Ryerson. He's a newspaper man. And Uncle Stefan.
Yes?
Would you be willing to say that you saw a second man in your apartment the day you were stabbed?
If you say he was there, Denise, I will believe you.
Afternoon. Lieutenant Bobby Mallory reads me the riot act for not fingering Walton Novick earlier. Freeman Carter, my lawyer, tells me that Mrs. Pachorik's broker handled a $12 million transaction for Corpus Christi to buy Ajax shares. Roger wants to see me. We fix a late dinner. Then Murray at the Golden Glow.
Another beer, Sal.
So you'll take Uncle Stefan home with you?
Look, only if you pay for the funeral when Lottie finds out what I've done. I know her temper.
I'll do with her, Murray.
And I can run the story on Novick's arrest and Stefan's death.
Yeah, sure. See, as long as... Well...
I knew there was a catch.
No, it's not a catch. It's another story. Just come to the Priory tomorrow at 4 and bring a camera. Evening. Thermometer shows below freezing. The Pachorik house for the second time in 24 hours. Front door this time. Let's hope O'Fallon doesn't knock me out with his crucifix.
Victoria, Catherine and Xavier are in the family room.
Oh, no. What is she doing here?
Good evening, Archbishop. Good evening, Mrs. Pachorik. Xavier, I hope you have a confessor with a lot of pull.
How dare you use my first name? Don't talk to the Archbishop like that.
Oh, you know me, Catherine. I'll try anything.
Now that you've all insulted each other, can we talk? Victoria, you spoke to me last night about the link between Corpus Christi and Ajax. What evidence do you have?
Well, I have a photocopy of a letter that involves O'Fallon in the Ajax takeover. You read Italian, Dr. Pachorik?
Yes, I do.
Here.
I see.
So it was you who broke into my room at the Priory.
I didn't break in. The door was open.
You are a thief. Oh,
please, Archbishop.
You have $1 billion of Banco Ambrosiano assets sitting in Panama banks. If you withdraw the money and start spending it, the Bank of Italy is going to come down on you like lions on an early Christian. You need a respectable American financial institution to launder the money.
It's a beautiful theory. But if a friend of mine tells me that Ajax is a good takeover target, that is not illegal.
Alas, for the venality of the human condition. See, my attorney, Freeman Carter, spoke with yours this afternoon, Mrs. Pachorik. Corpus Christi used $12 million to buy Ajax shares in the name of Woodsage Corporation.
Oh, my God, I can't listen to this.
I'm not staying here.
Xavier, please don't leave. Not scared, are you?
Get out of my way.
Hold my arm, Xavier.
Stop it, Victoria.
Oh, you bastard!
Oh. That's enough.
He tried to blind me. He tried to burn me to death. He'd probably kill Agnes. He should let me kill him. It's the very least he deserves.
That's enough. Both of you.
She's mad.
Sit down, Victoria.
Stefan Herschel died tonight. That's another crime this Prince of Peace is responsible for.
Dead?
Who is Stefan Herschel?
He was an old man, a master engraver who tried to interest Xavier here in buying forged stock certificates. Xavier stole the certificates. His buddy Walter Novick stabbed Herschel. Walter is the guy who was lying shot on your lawn last night. He really gets around.
Is this true? How can you believe what this lunatic says? An old man is dead. Corpus Christi buys Ajax shares. How does that implicate me in a crime?
It's Catherine's money that funds Corpus Christi in Chicago. That money is being used to buy Ajax shares. And now,
Maybe because she was looking into that. My eldest daughter is dead. O'Fallon, I hold you responsible. You got Catherine involved in all this.
I shan't stay here to be insulted any longer.
How much of this is true, Victoria?
How much of what? Is Corpus Christi behind Woodsage? Yes, true. Woodsage is behind the Ajax takeover bid. Was Agnes killed because of looking into that? Yes, probably. The difficulty is, Dr. Petrarch, it will never be proved. There just isn't any evidence.
That's all I wanted to know. Thank you for coming here tonight, Victoria.
But, Dr. Petrarch, I don't like to leave
you
like
this.
You
better go home. I have things to do.
I thought you'd never get here.
It's been quite an evening.
What have you done to your hand?
Oh, it's nothing, really.
V.I., don't start your strong and silent act with me.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Good. Now, first, though, can I come home with you later?
Oh, Roger. No. I'd like you to, but it's not my place, and right now it's a shambles, and I just don't feel like sharing a mess.
Is that the way an American girl tells somebody to go to hell?
When I want you to go to hell, I'll tell you. You won't have any doubts at all. It's just that I'm homeless, and I don't like it, and I just need some time alone.
Mm-hmm. People in my office keep saying, I can deal with that. Well, I can deal with that. Come on, let's eat. Rare slices of roast beef, Stilton flown in from Milton Mowbray, and port.
It's after 1:30 when I get back. A message from Don Pasquale. He wants to see me urgently, anytime, day or night, Torfino's restaurant. Pity I've eaten already. You wanted to see me, Don Pasquale?
I thought we might have a little chat, Miss Wachowski.
An honor. What about? A Walter Novick, maybe?
Do I know a Walter Novick?
Do you?
The name rings a bell. He may have run a few errands for me.
Well, he seems to think he's under your protection. He's in the hospital now. He's going to talk.
I regret that Novick gives the appearance of being under my protection.
He might even connect you with the forged share certificates found in the Priory.
Oh, dear, dear. Novick conceived an act of staggering folly when he engaged forgers to make false stock certificates and put them in the safe of a religious house.
Oh, and you would not know the name of these forgers, would you?
Regrettably, no. It is of no great interest to me.
Unfortunately, Don Pasquale, you may have to take an interest.
Indeed. Is that a threat, Miss Wachowski?
Don Pasquale. Novick was hired by O'Fallon to throw acid at me and set fire to my apartment. O'Fallon is going to blame you for all that. I mean, as you know, Don, no one with known mafia connections is allowed to own an insurance company or a bank. So O'Fallon's going to back away from Novick as fast as he can. He'll leave for Italy tomorrow. And I suppose just let you handle the situation as best you can.
As always, your conversation is fascinating, Miss Wachowski. And now, would 25,000 cover the loss of your apartment?
Oh, your generosity is fabled, Don Pasquale. Yet I have done nothing to deserve it.
Oh, but come, you have. You have.
Oh, no. No, please. Mama! Damn you, Novick. Don't make me shoot you. Gabriella, where are you? O'Fallon! No, get away from me. Get away from me. Oh, my God. Hello.
V.I.?
Lottie, what time is it?
How dare you let the newspaper run a story about Uncle Stefan's death?
No. He's safe, Lottie.
He called me. You're so selfish and egotistical.
What?
Single-minded that you'd be prepared to sacrifice Uncle Stefan.
Lottie, I put myself on the line, too.
You withheld information from the police in your usual arrogant way. Just keep away from me.
What's the point?
The point is to finish the job.
Oh, Gabriella, I'm so tired.
A shower, a late breakfast, navy walking suit, red silk blouse.
Smith & Wesson, just in case. The Priory. Inside the chapel of Our Lady of the Rosary, candles create warming circles of light. Behind an ornately carved wooden screen separating the friar's choir stalls from the secular crowd, the room is dim. I can barely make out Uncle Stefan's features. Where is on my left? Seats in the front row behind the wooden screen. I don't want Rosa to recognize us. The priests form a large semicircle around the altar. Pelle and Ophelon stand side by side. Pelle small, intent, white Dominican robe. Ophelon tall, self-assured, black cassock. Uncle Stefan, they're going up to receive communion.
I am right with you.
Come on. Join the procession. Half a dozen priests pass out wafers. At the altar, the procession splits as people go to the priest with the fewest communicants in front of him.
We'll go behind Rosa to the Archbishop Ophelon.
Victoria! Now, Stefan! Victoria, this is the man who helped Walter Novitz to stab me.
You're dead, so help me, you're dead.
Any more comments for posterity, Archbishop? Can you speak into this microphone?
Quiet! Quiet! Mr. Wachowski, what is the meaning of this? This is a church, not a boxing ring. Clear these people out so we can finish the mass. Then I'd like to see you in my office.
Certainly, Prior.
She's mad, Prior. She's dug up some old man to hurl accusations at me. She's been persecuting me ever since I came here.
This man watched the hoodlum try to kill me.
Enough! We're here to worship the Lord. These accusations make a mockery in the Lord's Supper.
Come on, Rosa. We'll wait in Father Carroll's office.
You idiot.
Save it, Rosa. We're in church. Come on.
Archbishop O'Phelan won't be joining us.
What?
He's going to the airport.
So he's gotten away.
Now, Miss Wachowski, I want an explanation.
Don't listen to her, Father. She's nothing but a...
Well, it's a pity that Archbishop O'Phelon can't tell the story, since he's the one who understands how all the pieces fit together. But I will do my best.
You couldn't if you tried.
Please.
Well, Aunt Rose, if you remember, you brought me into this in the first place. A desperate telephone call begging me to help you when you were under suspicion of having some part in the forged share certificates.
I was wrong to ask for your help.
You appealed to my family loyalty, against my better judgment. But I want to talk about the background to Rosa's call.
Go ahead, Miss Wachowski.
Some years ago, a man called Roberto Calvi set up some Panamanian subsidiaries for the Banco Ambrosiano, using over $1 billion in bank assets. And when he died, in mysterious circumstances, that money disappeared. We know that some of it was used for the transactions between a Panamanian bank and Ophelon and the attempt to take over Ajax. I have a letter written to Ophelon that proves that connection.
Thief!
The forged share certificates played a role in the takeover. Now, but what puzzles me here is Rosa's role. I presume she didn't know the forgeries had been put in the safe by Corpus Christi until after she called me in to investigate. Then she had to get me off the case.
Why should I ask you for help? What did I not suffer at the hands of that whore who called herself your mother?
Rosa!
Calm yourself, Mrs. Vigneault.
I took her in. Sweet Gabriella, beautiful Gabriella, talented Gabriella, oh, the darling of the family. Do you know what your precious Gabriella did? Did she ever have the courage to tell you?
You be careful what you say about my mother.
I took her in from the goodness of my heart.
Please, Rosa.
Did she pity me? No, not she. While I worked my fingers to the bone, she seduced my husband. If I would divorce Carl, he would support me. Only let him live with his sweet, talented Gabriella.
What?
So I threw her into the street. And what did Carl do? He shot himself.
Oh, God, I feel sick. I hate violence, Rosa, but my God, if you don't get out of my sight, I...
Please, Mrs. Vignelli. Miss Wachowski.
I'll go. I never want to see you again.
How dare she? How can she?
Please, Miss Wachowski, now calm yourself.
I'm sorry, Father Carroll. There's no reason you should get involved in this family quarrel.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah. Apart from feeling murderous, I'm just fine. Listen, let's get back to the certificate.
If you feel ready.
Yes, I'm fine. I'm... Father Pelle, did you plant the forged certificates in the priory safe?
We needed the money to acquire Ajax. Mrs. Pechorek was supplying as much as she could, but it wasn't enough.
Father Pelle,
You knew about the money in the safe?
I knew there were 5 million in blue chip shares. I wrote to O'Phalon saying I would be glad to use them, but I didn't want to arouse suspicions about their disappearance. A few months later, he sent me the forged certificates. After all, the shares hadn't been used in a decade or more. The chances were good that the Ajax purchase would long since have become history by the time the deception was discovered.
But it was discovered.
I was out of town when the chapter voted to sell the shares so they could build a new roof.
Was it you who told Rosa to dismiss me?
Yes. Yes, it was. I told her that Corpus Christi would protect her.
And then when O'Phalon arrived and found that I was still investigating, he used his mafia connections to try and stop me.
Yes.
The FBI investigation. How did O'Phalon put the brakes on that?
He and the mayor of Chicago were good friends.
Father Pelley, you'll have to see the FBI.
Yes, Father Carroll.
What was that?
It sounded like it came from the parking lot.
Someone just set off a bomb in O'Phalon's car.
Mafia claims its own. Thanks, Don Pasquale. No one's lucky forever, Archbishop.
Here you are, V.I.
I can't, Roger.
Why not? This check is the fee for the work you've done. Ajax is secure again, thanks to you. My work here is finished.
I know. Well, this is the most I've ever been paid.
Oh, great. It'll pay for a Steinway grand to replace Gabriella's old upright.
Yeah, I can go in the new apartment bought with 25 crisp $1,000 bills. I've always wanted to own my own home. I think I need some peace. I seem to have spent most of the past week talking to the FBI and the cops.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
I don't like to think too much these days about Rosa or my mother or about the ugliness I found in myself the night I shot Walter Novick. Stay with me, Roger.
I'll stay with you tonight.
You can keep the thoughts at bay for a while.
I'm afraid I can't do much about your dreams.
After dropping Roger at the airport, I feel empty and lonely and scared. I'm going to have to deal with the dreams now. I sit alone in the apartment. It gets dark.
I waited till Roger left.
Buddy, come in.
Will you forgive me, V.I.?
Buddy, there's no need.
There is. You're the daughter I never had, V.I., as well as one of the best friends a woman could ever have. I was unfair to you, harsh.
Want some coffee?
Not just yet. You see, when Uncle Stefan was stabbed, I went mad a little. I couldn't admit that he had a right to choose his fate. I blamed you, and it was very wrong of me.
Oh, Lottie.
It's taken me a long time to find the courage to say that. I'm not as brave as you.
Me? Lottie, I've been through hell and beyond this winter. Agnes died because I involved her in my work. Then Dr. Pachor killed his wife and shot himself. All because I just wouldn't give up. You know what my middle name is?
V.I. Warshawski. No, what is it?
Iphigenia. Oh. You know in the Greek myth, Agamemnon sacrificed Iphigenia to get a fair wind to sail for Troy?
Yeah.
In my dreams, it's Gabriella. It's my mother. She keeps laying me on the pyre and setting torch to it and weeping for me. Lottie, why did she make me give her that terrible promise to help Rosa? Why did she do it?
Because Rosa is your family. Awful as she is, she's your family.
I'm sorry, Lottie. I don't want to cry.
Did you know that in Greek legend, Iphigenia is also Artemis, the huntress?
No, I didn't know that.
I think we'd better have that coffee.
Good idea. Goodbye, Gabriella.
Goodbye. Victoria, my darling.
In episode 6 of Killing Orders by Sarah Paretsky, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski, with Martin Shaw as Roger Ferrant, Morris Denham as Uncle Stefan, Eileen Way as Rosa, Miriam Carlin as Lottie Herschel, and John Bennett as O'Phalon. Avril Clark was Gabriella, Helen Horton, Mrs. Pachorik, Don Fellows, Father Carroll, Carrie Shale, Murray Ryerson, Colin Stinton, Father Pelly. Colin McFarlane was Walter Novick, and Norman Jones was Dr. Pechorek. Killing Orders was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.